జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం. నిత్య లీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయకి యమునామాయకి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గోర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమః విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబత్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయుత పత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక బాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రతజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ. పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరిగదా సంబోధనాభోదితం. లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదై సాంగవదై క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయంతి యం సామగాః. ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురజనై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Fifteenth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, was Purushottama Yoga. It was called Purushottama Yoga. And when Krishna completed that chapter, the last words he said, Iti guhyatamam shastram idamuktam mayanaka Edat buddhva buddhiman syal kradakrityascha bharata. That is how he finished that chapter, right? And what Krishna said was that once you know this, the shastram, he says, kritakrityada comes from that. Kritakrityada. And before that, he says, you cannot say that you are intelligent. That's what he's saying there. Edat buddhva buddhiman syal kritakrityascha bharata. You are not a buddhiman or an intelligent person till you have realized this. Kritakrityascha bharata. That is how Krishna completed that chapter. So, for human species, Krishna has decided who is intelligent, who is not intelligent, from Krishna's point of view, right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice this in the Ekadasha Skandam, he mentions there that Krishna created all kinds of living entities. Brahma did the creation on behalf of Krishna. After he did all the creation, he was not satisfied. That's when that famous word, Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktyam Vrikshan Sarin Sripa Pashun Khagadamsha Malsyan Taistai Adushtahdaya Purisham Vidhaya Brahmava Lokadishanam Udamapa Deva. Famous words in the Bhagavatam. How Brahma created different species and he was not satisfied with all those different species, right? And different kinds of living entities he created and not satisfied. So, adushtakadaya, srishtva purani vividhani ajayatma shaktya vrikshan sarin sarvapashun gagadamsha malsyan taistair adushtakadaya adushtakadaya purusham vidhaya brahmava loka dishanam udamava deva. Adushtakadaya means that he was not satisfied after the creation, right? Then he created the Purusham, then he came out as Purusha. Purusha means, who is Purusha? Purusha is another name of the Jiva. Jiva's another name is Purusha. What is his symptom of a Purusha? What is the symptom of a Purusha? Symptom of a Purusha is that the benefit of, he has got the benefit of having intelligence, buddhi, right? And what is the benefit of having buddhi? Brahmava loka dishana. Yeah. Brahmajnanam, knowledge of the self, self-realization, or a capacity to know about oneself, this capacity is only available in the human species. Animals cannot realize the self. Birds cannot, aquatics cannot, plants and trees cannot. But human beings have been given this special capacity that in the human body he can realize the self. Or in other words, he can know who he is, what he is. That special benefit is human life. That's what's called Brahmava Loka Dishana, right? So, Brahmajnanam or capacity to know about oneself, that's available in the human species. Atmanam Vijanadi, says Upanishads, right? Able to know about oneself, right? We have got the capacity to know about all other things. That so many things have got, people have got. Capacity to know about other things in this world, right? But with that, with our buddhi, we get to know so many other things. But this, our buddhi has got a special capacity to turn inwards, antarmukhatvam, and able to realize the self, and that power only human being has got. Nobody else has got that. To able to turn the attention from the world outside inwards and able to realize the self inside, that capacity only human species have got, right? That potential, in other words. So, what happens is, that power what Krishna has given us for self-realization, which is a special power, no doubt, for the human beings. Others cannot do it. That's what that verse is saying. That's why Brahma was pleased with this special power human being has got. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktiya Vrikshan Sarin Srupa Pashun Khagadamsha Malsyan. He included all other species in that. Plants, trees, aquatics, animals, birds, everything. Vrikshan Sarin Srupa Pashun Khagadamsha Malsyan Taisai Adushta Hridaya. He was not happy with all of them because none of them were able to do this one thing. Why? Brahmavalokadishanam Udamava Deva. Human body, when he created, he saw that human body has got this capacity. Krishna has given these potencies to Brahma to create, but Brahma is just doing what he has been told to do. Krishna has given the authority to do that. Everything is Krishna who is coming through Brahma also. So Brahma is doing his part as a creator. He is doing the creation. But every time creation happens, it is Krishna who is coming as the different jivas. Isn't it? Antaryami is coming as different jivas. So, when all other bodies, when it is created, Brahma was looking, these created beings has no, they have to suffer. Once you accept a body means you have to suffer. But when he got the human body, Brahma thought that this is somewhat special, this body. Because this body has got the capacity to go inwards and look at who we are and realize the truth. So, but when that power what Krishna has given us, when it goes into the world, it gets short-circuited. In other words, it will go and spend all that energy and thinking power, everything, for inventing other things, useless things in this world. Right? And they are called the siddhis. Buddhi is there. That buddhi, if you use it for success in science and technology and all that, that becomes a siddhi. But this same power, it gets short-circuited like that outside, right? And that's what is called a siddhi. Patanjali says that. These are called siddhis, right? What it should have gone inwards, instead of going there, halfway, that power has gone in the wrong direction. And it came out in the form of siddhi. You know, the scientists and all, we think that, we say that he has invented this, he has invented that. All science, success in the scientific field, it's again because the intelligence, they were able to focus the intelligence on a particular thing, but it was not done deliberately. Accidentally it happens, all the technological innovations or all the scientific discoveries are a result of their turning the attention, more focusing on something, capacity to do that, right? So, but instead of going towards the Antaryami, when it goes to other directions, then Patanjali calls it a siddhi. That's how siddhis come. So, all these siddhis, the problem with the siddhis is that they are becoming a block in the path of samadhi state. It is meant to go into samadhi state inside, but instead it gets blocked by the different scientific mind and scientific discoveries and things like that, right? So, so all that problems while going inwards, right? In other words, these inner obstacles inside appear as some kind of occult power outside, and which shows that there is some block inside that he is not able to go in towards the Antaryami, right? So Patanjali is saying that they are nothing but the, because Patanjali knows the Shastram well, isn't it? Patanjali is a Yoga Sutram he wrote, and so many other great literature. So Patanjali is Adishesha. Balram he is. So he is saying that this power that has gone inside, it has gone in the wrong direction. And that he ended up like siddhis. And that siddhis are the scientific discoveries, like different things, right? So, but the problem is that these discoveries, what we find out, technology and science, they're not going to solve the problems of life. Yeah. So everything through science and technology and what we have acquired, achieved through all that, is not beneficial. Ultimately, it's not of any benefit to us, right? Which means it is not shreyas, it is prayas. Shreyas and prayas, you know the difference. Shreyas means ultimately what is good for us, beneficial for us. Ultimately, there is only one thing beneficial for us, self-realization. Becoming free from the miseries of life, free from the cycle of birth and death. And that alone is called a shreyas. Rest everything is prayas. So, in this world, whatever you may do, at the end, people are looking for recognition, position, and power, comfort. All those prayers, that's what prayers does. Prayers gives you name and fame, recognition, and a certain amount of position in this world. All these things will increase with prayers. Shanti won't come from that. What we need is shanti inside. That shanti won't come from that. You can create wonders in this world, get admired and appreciated by the world, by the human species for inventions and all that. But shanti won't come from that, right? So Upanishad will say like this, both these things will come in front of a person, shreyasa and prayasa. So first one is this prayasa, that means everyone in this world will offer respects to you, and you may develop certain powers within yourself, you may make a lot of wealth, samruddhi and everything, right? That mark process is called prayasa. Shreyasa means able to turn inwards and able to find peace inside, shanti. Shanti inside, right? That shanti, how does that come? From the knowledge of the self, alpajnanam, right? Shanti will come. With that shanti, you won't have any other benefit in this world. Kathopanishad is comparing these two, shreyas and prayas. With prayas, you will get a lot of material happiness, a lot of wealth, name and fame, and recognition in this world, followers, all sorts of things you will get. You will be known very well in the world, and people will admire you, things like that. That's all prayas. Shreyasa means you won't get anything from that, all of those things, but you will get shanti. That means you are going and touching the Antaryami, and with the result that you get the shanti from that, right? So, apart from shanti, nothing else you will get from that, right? So, normal people in this world, they want to become famous. Name and fame is important for them, isn't it? So, and therefore, to be peaceful within and in a shanti state, they are not particularly bothered about it. They are more concerned about the other side of it, right? Krishna's form is shanti. Tadaparam shanti mupaiti sakshal, he says, isn't it? In Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says, Tataparam Shanti Mupaiti Sakshal. Krishna is Shanti. Is it not? So, and Shanti Krishna has used very freely in Bhagavad Gita also, in many places. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Sukhridam, Sarva Bhudanam, Yatuamam, Shanti Mrachadi. Krishna is saying, by knowing Krishna, what you get is at the end, Shanti Murchari. Shanti comes from that. Ishvara Sarvabhudana Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarutani Maya Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharada Talprasadat Param Shandim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. So shanti is the goal through shreyas. Shreyas brings shanti. That's all you get. Shanti you get, right? So then it is up to the person to decide whether he wants a shreyas or prayas. If he wants name and fame, followers, wealth, recognition in the world and things like that, for him prayas is there, but he won't have shanti. But if he wants shanti, he will get shanti, but he won't have prayas from that. So these two things is in front of everybody, what they want to choose. What do you want to choose? That's up left to the individual, right? Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami, and according to one's own prarabdham, Antaryami will get you through this life in different situations you will have to go through. And inside he is this machine, Antaryami is running all the time. It's like a machine. Deshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantra Rudhani Maya. He is running this machine from inside. Antaryami runs this body from inside. So then he said, if you want shanti, then tamayva sharanam gacha. Is it not? Ishara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarudhani mayaya. Then tamayva sharanam gacha, if you want shanti. Right? Sarvabhavena bharata. So that word, what Krishna has used there, is very, very powerful word. Right? He said, Sarvabhavena Bharata, by all means, he said, Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna. Whatever happens in life, what Krishna is saying is, if you have surrendered to Krishna, whatever happens in life, able to accept it, that is Krishna's plan. That's why it happened like that. Suppose you didn't get food to eat, then you have to say Ishwarecha, Krishna's plan, Krishna's desire. You didn't get sleep, Krishna's desire. And that way, everything in life, when it happens, able to accept it in that way, that is what is called Sarvabhavena. Sarvabhavena. Under all conditions, no matter what happens in life, able to accept it as that is Krishna's decision, and able to surrender to that principle, that's called Sarvabhavena. Sarvabhava means not only in one case, in all situations, right? Suppose somebody has abused you, then also you have to accept it as Krishna's plan. That's why I've been insulted, offended, or disrespected, whatever it may be, right? Suppose somebody has glorified you, that's also Krishna's desire that it should happen. And if the mind is always disturbed by some reason, that is also Ishwarecha. It's called Ishwarecha. Ishwarecha means Krishna's plan it is. Krishna's desire is like that, right? And if you are able to remain peaceful all the time, that's also Ishwarecha. It's Krishna's desire, right? So, not accepting any responsibility yourself, not accepting any responsibility for anything what happens in life, everything is happening because of Krishna's desire, and able to accept the life in that way is called the Ishwarecha. It's called Ishwarecha. And every time when you do that in life, different things happening, every time when you do like that, it is called Ahuri. Ahuri means that in Lila Sahasranamam, it is mentioned like this, Rahastarpana Tarpidaha. Rahastarpana Tarpidaha means, it's the name of Sri Parvati Devi. In the Lila Sahasranamam, it says that it is a kind of a sacrifice you do. Sacrifice normally is you set up the fire sacrifice and then you pour ghee and other ingredients into that. That is the external sacrifice. This is an internal sacrifice. Every time when something happens in life, good or bad, accepting that it is Krishna's plan means you are actually offering your ego, ahankaram, and into the fire. And ahankaram get burns out in that way. Our ahankaram gets burned out, right? So this is another kind of sacrifice what one does into the fire of Antaryami inside. You are offering yourself to Antaryami, saying that it is your plan that has happened, what you have decided, right? So, yeah. When one does that, nobody will come to know about it. You are doing it yourself within this sacrifice. Rahastarpana tarpidaha. In Lalita Sahasranamam, you will see this. It is another name of Lalitambiya in the Sahasranamam, right? So it is a worship you are doing internally. Internally. What is that? The life is pratibodham. Pratibodham means that we are existing every moment here, isn't it? Every moment. And every moment you are offering it to Antaryami inside. And continuously doing that. Ultimately, when you keep doing this, at one point later, that the one who is doing all these things, who is making the offering, he himself gets offered. That means his own ahankaram gets offered into that fire and he is completely destroyed. Ahankaram is fully destroyed. So this is a system in the Sri Vidya Vasana. It is there, a system like that, right? So, so ultimately, you practice it this way, that anything happens in life, it's all Krishna's desire. In that way, you think like that and accept it every time. That is the offering first. Ahuti, it's called. If you continue that ahuti, finally what will happen is, the one who is doing the ahuti, who is that ahankaram, that ahankaram also gets offered into the fire. Into the fire. So, and therefore it is called chidarkhyam. Arkhyam means that offering. But it becomes chitarkhyam when you are offering the ahankaram, right? Chaitanyarkhya samaradyam chaitanya kusuma priya. These are all the verses in the Lalita Sahasranamam about it. And what flower have you offered? You offered yourself, ahankaram itself, right? And arkhyam, as flower. And in that way, once you have given everything to him, then what happens at the end? Only Krishna exists. I don't exist anymore. That ahankaram is completely wiped out and only Krishna exists then, right? So, ahanda or ahankaram has no place anymore. And what will you get from that when you do like that? You won't get anything. You won't get any position in this world or any other recognition in this world, right? That all Krishna is saying is, tal prasadal param shandim, you will get. And what is that? Sthanam prapsesi shashvatam. Krishna said that. So those two verses in the Bhagavad Gita requires thorough understanding. Ishara sarvabhudanam, pradeshe arjuna tishtadi, brahmin sarvabhudani, yantrarudhani maya. And then Krishna is saying, tameva sharanam gacha. It is Krishna's advice to us. Tameva sharanam gacha. Take shelter there. Antaryami Ishvara. Sarvabhavena Bharata means all circumstances in life surrender there to Antaryami. Saying that it is you who are doing, because that's what he said in the previous verse. Sitting inside us, Antaryami, what he does to us? He keeps us running around in this giant wheel called Maya. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi, and keep us going in this giant wheel of Maya. Brahmayan sarvabhudani, and what is that giant wheel? Different species. He puts us according to our prarabdham through different bodies and gets us going one after the other. So if you want to become free from this giant wheel of called the cycle of birth and death of different species, it is a giant wheel. 8.4 million different species. through which you are traveling one after the other, continuously, not able to come out of it. So Krishna is saying that with the help of Maya, Antaryami does that, to get rid of all prarabdham in that way. The cycle works like that. Prarabdham is there, Maya is there, Antaryami is there. And prarabdham has to be dissipated. For that purpose, Maya has created this system of 8.4 million different species. So Jiva has to go through this cycle one after the other continuously. So that's what he's saying. Ishara sarvabhudanam, in all living entities, hriddeshe, Arjuna, tishtadi, is present in the heart. And then what he does is brahmayan. Brahmayan means this rotation of the cycle of birth and death. Brahmayan sarvabhudani, yantra rotani maya. Yantra means like a giant wheel. It is there and it is run by maya. Maya runs that. Prakriti, in other words. Three modes of material nature. She runs that. Yeah. So if you want to come out of that, then tameva sharanam gacha. That's the solution for that. Take shelter of Krishna. Antaryami inside. Sarvabhavena bharata means that under all circumstances, depend on him. Ashrayam, in other words, like Bhagavadam says. Ashrayam. Ashrayam means surrendering there to Antaryami and saying to him that everything is your desire, things are happening. I have no ownership. It is you who are doing that. If you keep doing that over a long period of time, Krishna is saying that all sarvabhavena bharata, what will happen is shanti will come. Tal prasadal param shanti. Shanti will come and finally you will get established in that state. Sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. Permanently you will reach that state of shanti. So, that is what those two words say. They are important, right? So, with Bhagavad Gita, or what we call it as Brahmavidya, or with Upanishads, or with the Alpavicharam, self-inquiry, all these things, what is the benefit from all this is, you will get Shanti, Samadhanam, Shanti inside. Nothing else. You won't get anything else. You will get shanti from that, right? Then you may ask the question, for that you have to work so much to get this shanti, right? Krishna says, yes. If you want it, you have to do it. There is no other way. Because in this world, if you observe, people have done a lot of things, but ultimately, no shanti inside. That's the world outside. If you look at the people, big men, politicians, businessmen, all kinds of people you can see in this world, they've done a lot of things in this world, but they left this world not in a shanti state. Totally disturbed inside. Right? They got everything else. They have got control over the whole planet. They conquered the whole world. But ultimately when they look at themselves, there is no shanti inside. One who has got shanti inside, he is an emperor. He is an emperor, right? So because he controls, he is emperor of his own empire inside, right? If he has no shanti inside, even if he is an emperor, he is a beggar. If he has no shanti inside, right? You know this famous history about Alexander. We call him Alexander the Great, isn't it? What great? What is his greatness, right? He conquered a lot of the world, but at the end, in the school they teach us Alexander the Great, Ashoka the Great, Akbar the Great, and all kinds of things. They teach us like that, right? So Alexander, he has conquered a major part of this Asia and European continent, right? So, and he wanted more. That was his desire inside. And finally, still his beggar pot was not full, right? And he killed so many people in that process, fighting so many big wars in so many different places, right? And then we gave him this title, Great, Alexander the Great, for what he has done, right? Actually, it is all meaningless, useless. This is all the way the historians put it. Yeah, they keep saying, this is great, that's great. But from spiritual side, if you look at it, what's the greatness about it? You've gone and fought so many wars, killed so many people, because if your desire inside to control the land, in that process all you have done is you have killed so many people, and ultimately are you happy on that? He is not happy either at the end. So, so that is how it is. We should not just go by what the school books tells us. Textbooks and all that, they will glorify all these personalities. They'll glorify politicians who won the war. But ultimately, what have they done in this world? Except that they have killed a lot of people. And for some time they tried to control the world, and then they died and gone. That's all. And we call them as great. Akbar the Great, Ashoka the Great, and Alexander the Great, all great, great. There was a great saint, Guha Namah Shivaya in Tirunamalai. He used to say this, that even if I get some porridge to eat, even without salt, I don't mind, he says. to such an extent, he had detached himself from this world. And we would like to, from spiritual angle, if we look at it, he will be called great because of that detachment from the world. Not Alexander, not other great emperors, right? So, because he doesn't want anything, he is not carrying a beggar pot and asking from the world, give me this, give me this, give me this. Whereas these emperors, they have invaded so many lands and killed a lot of people to conquer the land, and still not satisfied at the end. Whereas saintly personalities like this Namah Shivaya, he was satisfied with what he got, doesn't want anything from this world. From so spiritual side, if you look at it, they are the greater people compared to these conquerors, right? So spiritual life is a very simple thing it is. It's very simple, right? Yada sarve pramuchyade. In Kathopanishad you will see this. When Yamadharmaraja is talking to Nachiketas, he is saying that spiritual life from Krishna's, from Upanishad point of view, what is it? He says, all desires have gone from inside. All the desires have gone from inside and satisfied in life, right? And Alma Ramasya, able to remain in that state, right? Able to remain in that state. So, in the Bhagavatam, if you look in the seventh canto, while discussing the Varnashrama Dharma, at the end, you will find a statement there. Srinarda Maharshi is saying this. Look at that verse, 16th verse. 7:15-16. Santushtasya, nirihasya, swatma ramasya, yat sukham, kudastad kamalobhena, davado arte hayadisha. Narada Maharshi saying to us straightforward a statement, right? Santushtasya, nirihasya, swatma ramasya, yat sukham, kudastad kamalobhena, davado arte hayadisha. One who is happy with what he has got or gets in life and has no desire for anything, And one who is, that is Niriham. Niriham means he has no desire at all. He doesn't want anything in this world. Then he is saying, Alparamasya. And who is Alparama? The shanti and the happiness what he gets. A person who has God, who gets shanti. From Sandushtasya, Nirihasya, Swalparamasya, yet Sukham. The Sukham what he gets. How can a person, kudastad kama lobhena davad arte hayadisha, how a person who is running around in the world to acquire wealth because of desire inside and wandering around everywhere in the world just to acquire wealth, how is he going to get that? That's the point here. Yeah? Sandushtasya, Nirihasya, Swalparamasya, yet Sukham. The Sukham, a person who is always satisfied and who has no desire and who is Alparama. The happiness what he gets, another person who is running around all over the world to acquire wealth and to become happy, he will never get it. That was Narada Maharshi's statement, famous statement, right? So, that fulfillment inside, when one has feels that and doesn't want anything from this world, the shanti that comes from that, that will not come for a person who has desires and who wanders around in this world, running around everywhere, right? So, there is an interesting story about this. The story is like this, that a sannyasi went to see a king. Sannyasi went to see a king, right? When he got there, the king was praying. The king was having his prayers at that time. So sannyasi waited for some time. And the king didn't finish his prayers. He carried on praying. Sannyasi is waiting to see him, right? So this king has a habit of giving prasadam to few sadhus every day, right? And so sannyasi wanted to ask king something, but king is not able to, king was so busy in praying. After waiting for some time, sannyasi walked out. He didn't stay anymore. He said he has waited enough, so he walked away from there, right? The king, meanwhile, finished his prayers and he looked, the sannyasi as going. He saw him walking away, right? So he went back and caught hold of the sannyasi and told him, Swamiji, have you come to ask for something, right? You didn't ask anything. So sannyasi says to the king like this, he said, I am a beggar myself, and when I came here, And I saw your prayers and it is taking so much time, I realized that you are a much bigger beggar than me. Because I ask one or two things here and there. But you seem to be so busy in your prayers, that means you must have an endless list to ask from the God for to fulfill your prayers. So when I saw that, I realized that you are a bigger beggar than me, and therefore, for my case, he said, I need some food, that's all. I don't need anything more than that. But I noticed that you are asking so many things to Ishvara for yourself, right? So, then I thought that maybe I will ask him also directly. And then saying this, he left the king, right? That is Swalparama. Swalparama means that Shruti says, Yada Sarve Pramuchyade. That means, desires inside is like shadow within us, right? And so, Ajnanam, Avidya. The Avidya is this desires. Desires are nothing but Avidya inside us. When desires come inside, we have to understand that It is the a symptom of our avidya inside, ignorance inside, right? That means, will I get something so that I'll become happy? This thought, right? What they call it as marumarichika. That means from when you look at from a long distance, you start thinking that there is some happiness there. If I get it, I'll become happy this way, right? And marumarichika is like that. You think that there is some happiness in the desert, and when you go there is no water there. In the same way, in this world also, many things what we are working hard to get at the end, that it is an illusion, thinking that if I get this, I'll be happy in my life. And ultimately we all realize that it was all a waste of time. That no happiness comes from any of these things, right? So that is why Krishna is saying there that if you are situated in the self, that means if you have realized the self and if you are on that platform of the self, right, there is no higher happiness than that. That is what that verse is saying. Iti guhyatamam shastram idam uktam mayanakha edat buddhva buddhimansyal kritakrityasya bharata. That kritakrityada, that is the important thing. That fulfillment, no more desiring further anything. Doesn't want anything anymore. That's called kritakrityasya bharata. Krishna said like that to Arjuna in the end, like that. Yeah. So if you are established in the self, in self-realized state, right, there is no other higher happiness than that. And when all the desires have left you and you don't want anything from this world, there is a perfection that comes. Purnada. Purnatvam comes from that. And that perfection what you feel at that time, that purnatvam, that is the shandi. That is the shandi. And that shandi comes when one surrenders full sharanagati to the Antaryami, naturally it will manifest. So when the shandi comes, when all desires have gone, by constantly offering everything, that it is Krishna who is doing everything, Antaryami is behind everything, as you mentioned before, in this giant wheel, to getting rid of our prarabdham, Maya is running the wheel, all different species of life, we keep on rotating through this one after the other, and when we become free from that, we get the shandi. But in order to get free from that, we have to have this approach that Krishna is doing everything. And finally, our ahangaram is also offered into that fire. And when ahangaram leaves away, the shandi will come from Antaryami. So, sharanagadi to Antaryami, and Antaryami gives you the shandi. Antaryami gives you the shandi. So, in a jiva, when Antaryami does that, when shandi comes, right, this is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita, shandi. Sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata tal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. Krishna finished it like that. Bhagavad Gita's 18th chapter, that is, right? So this is the reason that rishis knew that shandi is the solution to the problem. Shandi. That is why every Upanishad mantra finishes like that. Om Shandi Shandi Shandihi. Shandi is what they have talked about. They never spoke about acquiring wealth in this world. They spoke about Shandi. Shandi is the priority of everything. We also, sometimes you get a glimpse of the Shandi inside, right? And we call it as, oh, I have a lot of peace of mind now at the moment. I'm peaceful. Say something you are struggling to get, and when you get it, you feel some shanti inside, temporarily, very temporarily, for a few minutes or few hours, maybe it may last, or something I have achieved in my life. Some shanti you feel, temporarily, very temporarily, right? You call it as peace of mind, right? In English it's very famous, isn't it? They always say peace of mind. But Shastram says, if you have mind, there is no peace. That's the Shastram solution. Normally we say peace of mind. But Krishna saying, if you have mind, there is no peace. Right? And if you have peace, there is no mind. If you have mind, there is no peace. And if you feel peaceful, that means there is no mind, is not working, right? So this thing called mind, it will never give you peace. Samadhanam, shanti, peace, shanti and all these things is the swarupam of Atma. Only Atma can give you that, right? And there it is, nirvishesham. That means it is already there in us. Everybody has it, but only thing is that covering is there. Avidya, covering. If you are able to clear that avidya inside, then you will see it is already there in everyone, because Antaryami is there, so shanti is there altogether, right? So, the only problem is that problem of removing that avidya from inside. So, yeah. So, in Vedantam, the approach is like this. When does one become eligible for hearing Vedantam? Right? When he comes to the situation that I don't need anything from this world, this is the first requirement. I don't want anything from this world. And Upanishad is showing to us something what we already got, which is the Antaryami inside. Nothing has to come from outside. Already we have it. We are possessing it within ourselves, right? And that is all taking our attention from the world to that Antaryami inside. That is what Guru does. Guru's role is that, to turn our attention from the world to the Antaryami inside, right? And with that you realize that you are perfect. You don't need anything from the world outside. And it becomes, purnatvam comes, perfection comes to you at that time. When you realize that Antaryami inside is perfect, you don't need anything from outside. When the perfect source is inside, we don't need anything from outside. That purnatvam, perfection, is our original nature. In reality, we are perfect, right? But due to this avidya, ignorance inside, we feel this apurnatvam. Apurnatvam means imperfection. We always feel we are not perfect. I need this, I need that, I need this. So we go everywhere looking for, thinking that I don't have this, so therefore, that is why you go around all over the world, that something making you think that I am not perfect inside. That is avidya. That feeling that I am imperfect. I need something to make me happy. This feeling. I need something from the world outside to make me happy. And searching and running around all over the world, it's a sign of that imperfection. Imperfection. Apurnatvam. Right? So, but that is a kind of illusion. Actually, Krishna is saying, you are perfect inside, Antaryami. But because you have not taken a shelter, and you have this illusion inside that you are imperfect, and to become free from that imperfection, you are wandering around in the world thinking that if I get this, I'll become perfect. If I get that, I'll become perfect. In this way, keep on exploring and exploring and exploring all the time, never coming to an end. Never coming to an end. Even when you come to spiritual life, that's what's happening, isn't it? You keep on going. Sometime try this, sometime try that. And different philosophies you try, and different kinds of processes, sadhana process you try. Then you go on a pilgrimage a lot, thinking that maybe that will make me perfect. When that is not done, then you say that I'll do some austerities, a lot of Ekadashis and other things I'll follow. And like this, all different types of things, you are doing it with the hope that one day everything is going to be perfect. It is with that hope one is doing this, isn't it? All sadhana, pilgrimage, studying shastram, everything, upasana, all is on that level. Hoping that one day you will find shanti inside, peace will come inside, right? So, this is called the brahmam. This brahmam, In order to become free from that Brahmam, it is for that purpose is Shravanam. Shravanam is to make us free from that Brahmam. Brahmam means that illusion, right? So, in make us understand that we are perfect within ourselves because of Antaryami is there, which is my real identity. And Antaryami is perfect in himself. He doesn't need anything else. Jiva wants things. Antaryami doesn't want anything. Happiness and distress. Remember the two trees, two birds talking about the same thing coming out like this. Right? The Jiva, the bird, one never satisfied. Tries everything, good and bad, all the fruits. It's a poetical way of saying things like that to make us understand. Yeah. So, but when you are on your own, that means when you are established in the self, then you will know that you are perfect. You don't need anything from outside, right? And the proof of that is Sushupti. In Jagrat and Swapnam, you are not perfect. You are not perfect in Jagrat and Swapnam. But that is your experience. But as soon as you go to Sushupti, you are not asking anything. In Jagrat and Swapnam, you are asking things. I want this, I want that. Endless list. So when you go to see Krishna in the temple, you are going with the list what you have made for the Jagrat. People go to the temple, is in it, lot of desires inside, lot of plans inside. It will be there in the heart. It can be in various ways. Is it not? Material happiness also, ultimately better to ask Krishna than asking anybody else. So, with that list, but that's all for the Jagrat only, not for the Sushupti. Sushupti state you don't have to ask anything. Right? So, Upanishad says that just like Krishna is showing you a mirror to tell you what is going on, right? In Sushupti, everybody is happy. So far in this world, not one person has said that he was not happy in Sushupti. In Sushupti, everyone is happy, right? And you are not desiring anything there. That's the beauty of Sushupti. Is it not? In vacant state, knowingly or unknowingly, the desires are inside. All kinds of desires. Desires, it is difficult to list them. Because at different stages in life, different desires will come. Balastaval krida sakta. Tarunastaval taruni sakta. Vrdhastaval chinda sakta. Pare brahmani kopina sakta. That's Bhajagovindam saying. So, desires will never leave us. It will be all the way throughout life at different stages, in different ways the desires come. Right? But Sushupti is one stage where you can say, guarantee that no desires come at that time. It's an amazing situation, isn't it? Forget about the Shandi, and it is because there is no desires coming, that is why that Shandi what you experience in the Sushupti. Because no desires, you see, normal time in our life, in the daytime, in the vacant state, why are we so funny the way we are? It's because inside there is so many plans working in a subtle level. It is working inside. I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to get this, I have to get that, I have to go there, I have to go here. In this way, various things are operating within, planning for the future, as we say. And all these insurance companies also helps us to plan for the future. So when all these things are simultaneously going on, desires are working in a very subtle level within everybody, right? So this process stops when you go to Sushupti. And that is because that process stops there, that's why you feel that happiness in the Sushupti. That's the reason behind it. Because these subtle desires that is going on inside, in the vacant state and in the dream state, stops in the case of deep sleep, when you go into the Sushupti, right? And because that desires have gone, and plus the fact that the ahankaram is not there, therefore you are saying when you wake up, that Sushupti, that Shandi what you felt, that is what you are saying in the morning when you wake up, that I was happy, right? So, and every time when you come out, you say, I had a good sleep. And I slept well. And I enjoyed that, right? And you will never say that, I slept well with the distress. You will not say that. I slept well with the distress. You won't say that. You will say, I slept well and I feel refreshed. That's how you say, right? In Jagrat, you have distress. In Swapnam, you have distress. And it is there for anyone who may be the American president to the ordinary person in the street. It applies. It applies, right? So there is Jagrat, there is Dukkham, and Swapnam also there is Dukkham, right? And it applies to everybody, any position he may have in this world, right? And like ordinary people, they will also have problems, like anyone else, right? Ordinary people think that if I get that position, I will be happy, right? And that is a bhramam. That is a bhramam. That if I get a position in this world with a lot of wealth or a big position, things like that, I'll be happy. That bhramam is there in them, right? And that is why it's called a marumarichika. Ordinary people, when they think that if I had a lot of money and if I had a big position in this world, I'll be happy. That illusion inside. That's compared to the marumarichika. Marumarichika means that to say to us that in vacant state and in the dream state, happiness and distress is there. And it applies to everyone in this world. Nobody is free from that. Whether he is a president of the United States or president of a big corporation, chief executive, or whoever it may be, a big position you may hold in this world, but still, distress will be there in the vacant state and in the dream state, right? Just like they say in English, isn't it? Grass is green on the other side. That's all it is, right? So, similarly, people think that if I get this job, I'll be happy, right? Or sometimes people say, if I go to the rich countries and if I can make a lot of money, and then I'll be happy. This feeling, right? Or sometimes people say, if I get married, I'll be happy. Now I'm not happy, so if I get married, I'll be happy. From then on, the life will be blissful. This is all the illusion in us. This is called a Brahman. Brahman means this, that he is thinking like that. Then after marriage, he is thinking, oh, if I had a child, everything would be happy. That's the next one. This Brahman continuously goes on in life like this. Now we have forgotten all that. Now our Brahman is on something else now. So Brahman continuously comes in life like this. From one, depending on the stage where you are at in life. Young man, if you ask him, he will say these things. If only I could get married and settle down, they say, I'll be happy. And then if you had a wife, he feels happy now that we are together. Two of us will share the burden of life. And think all kinds of flowery language they use to see how, and they will, for a few days, they'll be happy together, moving around all the time, doing same thing together. And in this way, they carry on with their life. Then children comes, then they feel that there's something missing in life, perfection. And then the children comes. Because they were thinking all the time after marriage that if I have no children, that's why we are not happy. Together we are not happy. So we need some children. When children come, they think we'll be happy then. And they come. And is the happiness come? No. Then the children's education, children settling down, that way that flow goes like that. And then also, are they happy? No. They're not still happy. Oh, suppose we had some grandchildren, it would be nice. So this cycle goes on and on and on and on. By the time our time is over and we are gone from here. Yeah? So... So this is normally called in the Shastram, Eshana, Vitteshana, Dareshana, Putreshana, Logeshana. These are all Eshanas. Eshana means this Brahman all the time. If I have money, I'll be happy. If I have a wife, I'll be happy. If I have children, I'll be happy. Or if I get recognition in the world, name and fame, followers in this world, I'll be happy. These are all called Eshana. It is in the Bhagavatam spoken all these things, Eshanatrayam, right? So after doing all these things, and after going through all these different things, Viteshana, Putreshana, Logeshana, Dareshana, everything, ultimately he starts thinking, I'm still not happy with everything. My problems have not solved, right? And sometimes you start thinking, why did I get involved in all these things, entangled in all these complicated things, and got into this situation where I am now, right? And then he is thinking, if I become a sannyasi, I'll be happy. At that stage, he's thinking like that, right? So, sannyasi is thinking at that time, he's thinking that, if I could only remove all these clothes and danda and everything and get married. Sannyasi is also thinking like that. Many young sannyasis, even though outwardly they have got the dress and the danda and all that, inside they are fighting, missing that. Family life, they miss family life and wife and all that. So he is also thinking that I have given up all these things and I haven't got anything else. So that thought will naturally come in their mind, right? So in this way, this dress we are changing all the time from one thing to another, right? Keep on putting different dresses, right? So Krishna is saying to us, remove all your dresses, right? Because this dress itself is the problem. Dress means this body, different types of body, right? And in different types of body, different types of happiness is coming and different types of distress is coming. In different types of body. Don't think that sannyasi is free from distress. Sannyasis have also got a lot of distress, what they are going through. Only thing is, they don't have anybody to share with. Householder will share with his wife all his problems. He will say to her and she will say to him. In this way they will. But who will the sannyasi go and say his problems? What will he do? He has no choice. He has to keep himself. So he gets fed up with this whole thing one day. And then, so Krishna's point is that you have taken all these dresses. Sannyasi is also a dress. Grihastha is a dress. Brahmachari is a dress. Vanaprastham is also a dress. Everything is a dress. So, and all these dresses, you have to become free from that. They are all called upadhi. Is it not? They are all upadhis only. Sarvobhadi vinirmuktam. Tatparatvena marmalam. Rupa Goswami says this. Rupa Goswami didn't take sannyasam. He was just a Babaji, lived alone in the Vrindavanam and without any desires. That's the beauty of that. So, so Krishna is saying that this body, this mind, if you are able to get rid of these things, body, mind, intelligence and all that, and inquire about your swarupam, what you are actually, your swarupam, then you will know that it is only pure chit swarupam, shuddha chit swarupam, and it will manifest within the heart. So when that pratyabhinya, that recognition comes, right, you will feel the perfection, purnatvam, what we discussed this morning. That purnatvam, perfection will come, right? And this is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this word there, use the word nijalabhatushta. Nijalabhatushta means this, right? He's the greatest prophet in the sense that Atma labhad na aparo labhaha says, right? By getting that profit, that labham, the greatest labham, when Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, when Sri Shuka Brahmarshi met Sudha Goswami, Sudha Goswami says this about Shuka Brahmarshi, nijalabhatushta. You can see that in the first canto, in the 19th chapter. What Sudha Goswami had to say about Sri Shuka Brahmarshi. This is what he said. Nijalabhatushta.
Tatra abhavad bhagavan vyasaputro yadrchayam gam adamano anapekshaha alakshalingo nijalabhatushto buddhatribhale avadhutaveshaha. That nijalabhatushtam. This is Sudha Goswami is talking about Sri Shuka Brahmarshi. That was him.
Nijalapatushta. Nijalapatushta means due to self-realization, doesn't need anything. He has got the greatest thing what one should get in life. He has got that. That's why it's called Nijalapatushta. Tatra abhavat Bhagavan Vyasaputra, Vedavyasa Maharshi's son, Yadruchaya, by Krishna's arrangement, Yadruchaya, Gam, Adamano, Anabeksha, doesn't want anything in this world, right? Alakshalingam, he has no direction where he is going, nothing planned previously, he is just moving around freely. And Nijalapatushta, that Nijalapatushtam is an important word there about Shukabra Maharshi, Sudha Goswami is saying. So you can see from Bhagavatam that Vridastri Bale Avadhuta Vesha, he says in Avadhuta's form he has come and a lot of people around him. Avyakta Lingam, right? So Avyakta Lingam means he is completely, he has no clothes on. No clothes on, yeah? And special dress, nothing, right? But inside, fulfillment, fullness inside, due to self-realization. Fullness inside, right? What was the profit from that? Because he has got himself back. You see why we are craving for world outside? Because we haven't got ourselves. When we get ourselves back, like people say, isn't it, we want our country back, you say. We are saying that we want ourselves back. Ordinary people in the world say, nowadays they say like that, isn't it? We want our country back. But spiritual life, what we want is, we want ourselves back. At the moment, getting back means getting our actual identity, spiritual identity back. We have got the bodily identity now. That's what we have. So we want to lose this bodily identity, get our spiritual identity back, right? So, Atmalabham, Nijalabham. So it is, that's what that word is used. Nijalabha Tushtaha, right? So, in this way, Bhakrishna completed that chapter. And he told at the end that you have to realize Krishna as Purushottama. That Purushottama realization, he spoke about that. And that is what he concluded in that verse. Iti guhyatamam shastram idam uktam mayanakha edad buddhva buddhiman syal kritakrityascha bharata. And he closed that chapter, right? Kritakrityada. He said that kritakrityada, that is a benefit from that. So, there is nothing else to be done after that, right? So, imagine a state like that. You don't have to do anything anymore, right? One person asked this question, what will be like when you are realized, self-realized? What will be the situation then, right? So, the best comparison for that is, you know, when you go to school and you have whole year you have been to school, and before summer holidays, the last day at the school, you feel a great happiness inside. Oh, at least for a few months, I don't have to go to school. You get a feeling of peace inside, is it not? So, similarly, this whole life we have lived in this way. And one day, a day comes when you can stop living like the way we are living now. And establish in the self. You don't have to work, you don't have to go to school, you don't have to go to college, you don't have to care for the family, you don't have to look after the body. Becoming free from all these responsibilities, once for all, right? And that happiness, what you felt when you closed the school holiday, for the school holidays, the last day before that, what you feel in the same thing when you feel about this life, that when this life is going to come to an end, right? So, because school days means homework and all other kinds of things, right? That is how, when you become free from bondage, now we are bound, isn't it? Everybody is bound in some way or the other. Through family they are bound, and through society you are bound, social life, everywhere, right? So, that freedom, what you feel, when you are released from the bondage, in the same way, Jnani also, when he becomes, there is nowhere else anyone going to tell you what to do and what not to do. And there is no power in this world who is going to tell you or expect you to do some things, right? Not even Ishvara, because he has become identified with Ishvara, he's become one with him, and he has come into that perfect state, right? So, for him, he does not exist separately as a person anymore, only Ishvara exists. That stage has happened. And, as Krishna said that, Shandim Nirvana Paramam. If you look into the sixth chapter, Krishna is saying that state, what that is, Shandi state. Yeah? If you look at the sixth chapter, you will find that mentioned there. Fifteenth verse. What is that Shandi state means? Krishna is talking about Shandi everywhere. But what does Shandi state means? Yunjan evam sadalpanam yogi niyatamanasa shandim nirvana paramam malsamstam adhigacchati, he says. Yunjan evam samadha sadalpanam yogi niyatamanasa shandim nirvana paramam malsamstam adhigacchati. That is that Shandi state, what Krishna is talking about here, right? So, nirvana paramam shandi, right? Means all bondage has gone from us. Every one of us are bound in this world, is it not? When you look at it, everybody is bound in one way or the other. Bound by the body first, and the mind, and bound by the family, bound by the society. You're always in bondage. All bondage leaves us. That state is Shandi. Nirvana Brahman Shandi. And in the Bhagavadam, Krishna puts it in a Sudha Goswami puts it in another way. Vidyade Hridaya Grandi, Chidyande Sarva Samshaya, Kshiyande Chasya Karmani, Dushta Evalpani Ishware, he says. Same thing in the Upanishad also. Vidyade Hridaya Grandi, Chidyande Sarva Samshaya, Kshiyande Chasya Karmani, Dushta Eva Paravare. That's only one word at the end they have changed. Yeah. So, what that means is, karmam is finished once for all. No more karmam after that. We are not even conscious that how much we are entangled through karma. Is it not? Karmam creates karma vasana. Then when karma bhalam comes, if you don't get the bhalam, you are unhappy. Distress comes from that. And if a lot of karma bhalam comes, then you are very happy about it. In this, kartrutvam comes then, bhoktrutvam comes then, ragam comes, dvesham comes. In all these things, what karma has done to us, apart from vasana it has created, it has bound us also. But here, what he is saying is that, shriyande chasya karmani, you have become free from karma. So becoming free from karma itself is a big thing. Right? So all karma is over with that. Then what else? Chidyande sarva samshaya. Doubts in life about what should I do now? Is this the right thing to do? Throughout life we are only having doubts only inside the mind. Different things, isn't it? So doubts have all gone. Karmam is finished. And then what else happened? All this attachment in the heart to different things. That's called Hridaya Grandhi. Hridaya Grandhi means attachment to different people. Husband, wife, children, grandchildren, grandparents, parents, everywhere you are having this bondage, tight bondage, isn't it? Unable to break away from that, helpless, and being driven by them all the time. Becoming free from all that, vidyade hridaya grandhi, chidyande sarva samshaya, kshiyande chasya karmani, when? Drushto evalpan ishwari, when you realize the self. Andaryami, Krishna inside. Tell me one person who is not having this Hridaya Grandhi. Not one you can see in this world. Everybody is bound in many ways. Some people are bound too much, some people are bound a little less. But everybody is bound at the end. Wife, children, grandchildren, and husband, wife, parents, grandparents. All these connections are just bondage only. It is nothing more than that. So that's what he is saying here, that so, when that freedom comes from all this bondage, become free, and if you start thinking about a state like that, without any bondage. Start thinking about it first. At the moment we are bound. But if you start thinking about a state like that, what will happen is that start dreaming about it, an existence like that, without not in bondage, right? Then that dream will become in due course of time a power inside, right? And for human beings, this is one of the greatest power Krishna has given to us. What is that? Dream. That we can dream about things, and that dream will become a reality one day. This is how mumukshutvam comes in a person. Mumukshutvam comes in a person like that. He started thinking first about life, and he realizes that he is bound everywhere. And then he starts thinking, is there a state where you are free from all the bondage? And when you start thinking about it, that you are free from all kinds of responsibilities and bondage in this world, you start dreaming about it, and that dreaming itself is means that one day it will happen. Once you start dreaming that way, right? If not today, tomorrow, right? So, at this moment, we don't have the tools for that. But after some time, you will see a change happening inside. So, you can see many things, the discoveries in this world, it is like that. You dream first about something. In the early 50s and all that, going to moon was a big dream. But first time when they landed in the moon, and they were dreaming about, NASA was dreaming about it, and the Russians also were dreaming about it, that if they could go into another planet, moon planet, right? So they kept dreaming about it for many, many years. And one day that dreaming becomes a reality. When they landed in the moon, now they are all saying, oh, we are familiar with the moon, we know what is there, like that, right? And then now they are dreaming about taking people from here to moon, excursion to the moon. And Elon Musk is working very hard on that. And one day it will become a reality, able to go into that, right? So, similarly, in the olden days, we didn't know what is in the very depth of the ocean. So many things were there, but we couldn't go that far deep because of the problem with the oxygen, and even with the bottles of oxygen, it was finding it difficult. So, now they have managed to go deep into the ocean and find out what is there. They realize that there is another world there altogether in the depth of the ocean, right? So, things like that, from that you can see that what you are dreaming today, over a period of time becomes a reality. Maybe it takes a longer time, but it becomes a reality, right? So, Upanishad says, yat sangalpaha tat kradahu. Whatever sangalpam comes inside, in your imagination, it will become one day a reality, right? Upanishad says, right? Because according to your sangalpam inside, you will do the karma. According to the sangalpam inside, right? And according to the karma, you will achieve the success also from that. So, in the same way, liberation is also like that. Initially, you start thinking, is there any way out from this? But before that, there is a lot of things to happen. First, vairagyam has to come. Then, vivegam has to come. And then start seeing, analyzing this world, problems of this life in this world, problems with this body. All these things, gradually one has to build up a knowledge inside from all this. Problems of this body, birth, death, old age, disease. Problems of this world, temporary existence. And all the problems, what's going on, war, earthquake, famine. Sometimes they put you in anxiety whether there will be food to eat tomorrow. That kind of situation, is it not? So, when you analyze all these things, you can see, is this not a good place to be, really, living in this world in this way? So, gradually you get disgusted with the world. And that way, becoming free from the
Imagine, and then only that is Vivekam. When Vivekam comes, your way of thinking starts changing in a different directions. And when you start changing like that, is there a way out? You say, that's when you start thinking about liberation. That's when the thought of liberation comes. And when that thought of liberation gets stronger, that is what is called the mumukshatvam. And he is the one, Krishna is saying, good for spiritual life, ready for spiritual life. So, just like you are dreaming about other things, about going to moon, going to Mars, and places like that, or going to the deep ocean, how that dream has become a reality one day. In the same way, when one starts dreaming about liberation in the same way, that will also become a reality one day, right? So, Jivan Mukta state, while living in itself, in this world, becoming liberated, right? So, and this is what happens when you see a person who is in the Jivan Mukta stage. When you see a person who is completely liberated, that means he is living here purely to finish Prarabdham. When you see a person, this is the impression you will get from that. You will get this impression, how did he manage it like this? He is living in this world, but he is not affected by the world at all. Whatever happens in this world. So, Jivan Mukta, that this is the way to know a Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta, there is no other way of knowing it. Right? How will he be like? And that is what Arjuna has asked Krishna. How does a Jivan Mukta look like? He said, right? So, you remember, Krishna is sitting right in front of him. And he is asking to Krishna this question. Krishna is sitting in front of him and he's asking this question. What did he ask? Sthita Prajnato, right? How will be a Sthita Prajna will be like? He is asking his, right? So, the answer is, if you have not known what Sthita Prajnatam after seeing it, then how you are going to know after talking about it? This perfect Sthita Prajna is sitting in front of Arjuna. And Arjuna is asking this question, how will Siddha Prajna Sega Bhasha, Samadhistha Sekeshava, all those questions he is asking, what will he be like when this is the problem? This is the problem, right? So, one person asked, you know, in the olden days I told you that people will ask others, what's your caste? That nobody will take it offensive. Now you can't even say that. But olden days, about say 50-100 years back, people will always ask the question, what's your caste? Because you know from that, you will get a background of the person altogether. And nobody, everybody accepted that. Nobody had any problems with that, right? So, Narayana Guru, he was traveling in a train, right? So one person came and sat next to him. And he asked him that, what's your caste? He said. So Narayana Guru told him that, what do you think? By seeing me, what do you think? What caste I am? He says to him like that. So he said, I couldn't make it out. That's why I'm asking, he says. So Narayana Guru told him that, if after seeing me, if I not understood, then how will you understand if I tell you something? He said like that to him, right? Similarly, in the same way, what has happened there, Arjuna is asking Krishna the same thing. Arjuna could not understand after seeing a Sthita Prajna in front of him, sitting there, talking to him. And he could not understand. So, therefore he asked this question, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. How does he speak, right? Here, Bhasha means not the language, what it means. It means that his, what do you call, demeanor? The way you conduct yourself and behave in front of others, that kind of, yeah. Manners, you can say. Right? That is his, how does his manners? What will be like? Arjuna is asking this to Krishna. This is the funniest thing of all in the Bhagavad Gita. Someone who is always in the Siddha Prajna state, but Arjuna could not figure it out. So Arjuna is asking this question, Siddha Prajna Sega Bhasha. So how will he communicate? He is asking, right? Wholeness, what is his eloquence, right? His power to communicate. In this way, spiritual life we will be keep on asking questions about various things, right? But in Shastram, that is not the way it is to be done, right? Shastram says, like you see, in all religions, other religions, there are commandments, isn't it? Commandment. There it is, they give you, tell you this is what you have to do in life, in your spiritual life. You have to follow these regulations. Strict regulations, right? Commandments they call it. And you have to follow it rigidly. You are expected to follow it. Sanatana Dharma is not like that. Sanatana Dharma don't tell you what you have to do. What Sanatana Dharma says, Sanatana Dharma is not commandments. Sanatana Dharma is samvadam between the guru and the disciple. Like Krishna and Arjuna, Krishna and Uddhava. Similarly, all great personalities and their disciple. It is samvadam. Samvadam means the conversation between each other, right? So there is an interesting story about it. There was a perfect jnani, realized the soul, Bhadhva. It is the Upanishads. This story is in the Upanishads. Bhadhva, his name. And a young person comes to his ashram. His name is Bhaskuli. Bhaskuli comes to see this Bhadhva, right? Young man, this Bhaskuli, right? And he told the guru, Bhadhva, give me spiritual instructions, Upadesham. Give me the Upadesham, he said. Guru didn't say anything. He kept quiet. He didn't say anything. So this person won't leave him. He kept pushing and pushing. The guru, telling the guru, give me some spiritual instructions, he said. So guru said, you stay here. So he kept staying there. For a year he stayed with the guru. For a year he stayed with the guru, right? And in a daily life, guru told him many things, what he has to do, and what will be the good, right thing to do, and he was doing all that things, right? Everyday affair, everyday living in the ashram, right? And in that process, he has told him so many things about the ashram. In them days, it was like that. Ashram was there, the guru will be living there. Those who want the spiritual knowledge and those who are interested in the spiritual side of life, they will go to them. And you could stay with them, but you have to be ready for all the austerities there in that. So after a year, this Bhaskuli, the disciple, so-called disciple, he asked a Bhadhva, right, that I have been staying here more than a year now, and you have never given me any instruction so far, he says to him. So Bhadhva says to Bhaskuli, I have been continuously instructing you, but you didn't understand anything, he said, like that, right? So, in other words, without saying anything, the instructions were given in that way, right? Basically, what he was saying was that you have to learn to sit quiet sometime without any interruptions and be able to be peaceful within, right? And that silent instruction was what Bhadhva has given to Bhaskuli. That Bhadhva showed that in his own life, how he could remain silent without doing anything, able to remain silent for hours together, and that itself was the instruction for him. And Bhaskuli could not understand, because Bhaskuli, like us, is only used to thinking like this, I have to be keep doing something all the time. If I'm not doing something, there is something wrong with me. Unable to sit tight in place quietly and able to control the mind and senses and able to be peaceful. He's unable to do that. So Bhaskuli kept doing things whole time. And Bhadhva was sitting there completely in peace and unaffected by anything. So Bhadhva says to Bhaskuli, I have been instructing you all the time, but you couldn't understand it. That's the same situation, right? So that is eternal eloquence. Dakshinamurti's principle, Maunam. Maunavya kya prakatitatam, right? So that power of exchange is the power what jnanis have got, right? And it is a language, how it gets transmitted. It's another language, alaukikam. Alaukikam means it's not a mundane language. It's not a mundane language. What is that? Silence. Through silence, it's not necessary to speak through words, right? When you give instruction through words, it is shabdarubam, it is through sound, right? For a realized soul, yani, his body is like jyoti, it means it is anandam inside, sachidanandam, right? And in that body, without uninterrupted way, this exchange will happen without any interruptions from him. It will happen when you are in association of a jnani like that, right? And it is difficult to explain it to somebody what that means, right? So through silence it is possible. Certain things you have to say in words, and certain things without saying, the disciple is supposed to get it from the guru. Without saying. Guru may not say it, but the disciple should acquire that knowledge without verbal exchange. That's how spiritual knowledge is transmitted, right? So this methodology spiritual process is different from the other things, other knowledge in this world, right? So that is why when Krishna said in the last verse, Krita Krityascha Bharata, he said, you remember? That Iti Guhyatamam Shastram Idamuktam Mayanaka Edad Buddha Buddhimansyal Krita Krityascha Bharata. Krita Krityascha means that fulfillment has to come. And like, for example, you study anything else in this world, fulfillment won't come from that, is it not? You can study any subject, you will never say fulfillment has come, right? You can say scientists or these, even their Nobel Prize winners, laureate. Even then, if they don't get the recognition in this world, they will get depression. There are many people like that. They worked very hard, but they didn't get recognition in the world. There was one scientist, a Christian scientist. He went to America. He was in Kerala. A very recognized scientist. He used to work for Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore. And then he moved into Tata Institute of Fundamental Research. And he was a big boss there. He was very good, very intelligent in the physics, right? And then he went to America. And in a famous university, I don't know which one it was, he was the head of the research there. And he guided many people. And some of them got Nobel Prizes and all. But he didn't get anything, Nobel Prize, and he fell into depression. So imagine these things happen in life, that you have done a lot in this world and a lot of other people who has worked with you, whom you have helped, they won the Nobel Prize, but he didn't get it. And he was very depressed about that, right? So, that is not kritakrityata. Kritakrityata means, after something, you have to feel fulfillment inside. I don't want anything anymore. That feeling, perfection inside. So, because inside us, why do you feel this lack of something, not fulfillment? Because from inside, Antaryami is creating this situation, right? Antaryami is Purna Vastu, perfect it is, right? And that is our Swarupam. That means actually we are also perfect. There is no imperfection in us. Strictly speaking, we have no imperfection because we are same as Antaryami inside. But we have to realize that body and the mind will never become perfect. That's the first thing. Body and the mind will never become perfect, right? Similarly, the world also will never become perfect. These are fundamental things in spiritual life to know. Body won't become perfect, mind won't become perfect, the world won't become perfect, right? So if you try to perfect these three things, your body, your mind, or the world outside, you are a fool. That's the answer. If you are trying to make these things perfect whole life, trying to make it perfect throughout life, if you do that, from Shastram point of view, you are just a fool, right? And how do they say that? drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyat brahmamayam jagat. The only way out is drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyat brahmamayam jagat. Drishti, that means if your vision of the body, vision of the mind, vision of the world, if it is filled with knowledge, proper knowledge, then you will realize that situation and you will be able to make them perfect, all that. That means your relationship with the world, relationship with the body, relationship with the mind will be perfect then. You won't feel imperfection anymore. That's what Upanishad say. Drishtim yanamayim krutva pashyat brahmamayam jagat. Able to see Brahman in everything. So, we have to look at it this way. How many people have come to make this world perfect? They have all tried and they have gone. And we are where we are now, this world. Look at the situation. And we are still talking about perfecting this world. So what have we learned from the life? So many, Krishna also says that, as soon as I go, this will be back again to the normal, he said. Because that's the way the world is. It's not never going to be perfect. So to think that economic development and all kinds of plans, ultimately one day we are all going to be happy, it is never going to happen. It's never going to happen, right? So many people have tried, so many incarnations have come, and so many mahatmas have come, and ultimately they have all tried to reform, and this is the situation today, right? There is nothing to be improved here as situation is concerned. This is the way it is created, right? So the perfect vastu is inside us, not in the world outside, right? If you have known that vastu inside, perfect vastu inside, that is what Shastram is saying, right? That Krishna is saying here, Kratakrityascha Bharata, realizing Andaryami, Purushottama inside, that's the only thing you have to do, and that alone will make you perfect. Nothing else will make you perfect. You can try to make the world perfect, you can try to make the body perfect, mind perfect, you will not make it. You will fail it at the end. So that is Krishna's conclusion at the end of the this chapter, 15th chapter. That verse is very important to open up our eyes. Yeah, and to realize that what Krishna is saying. Krishna put it in a very simple words. He said, that's a Rishi's way of saying things. Iti Guhyatamam Shastram. This Shastram is extremely confidential. Guhyatamam it is. This science is extremely confidential. Because why? It is difficult to understand this. You won't understand because 24 hours we are busy with fixing the world, fixing the body, fixing the mind. And we have faith in that. We have no faith in the Shastram. And Shastram is saying, don't waste your time trying to fix the body or the mind or the world. It will never become perfect. It will be as it is. It's not going to change. This is the reality, isn't it? When the reality hits you, then you start thinking about it. What's the point in wasting time about it? Iti Guhyadamam Shastram, Krishna says, Idamuktam Ayanakha. He says, a person who has realized this, he is buddhiman. He has got intelligence. Otherwise, he is a fool. Edat buddhva buddhiman syal kritakrityascha bharata. Why? He will feel perfection inside. He has hit that perfection inside. Kritakrityascha bharata. We'll stop there. We'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhaumaha davagdinarvapanam Shreyakaidavachandriyavidharanam Vidyavadhu jivanam Anandambudivardhanam Pratipada purnamrida swadhanam Sarvapna subanambaram Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti Tatrarpida nimida smaranena kalam Eda drishitava kripa bhagavan mamabi Durdeivami drishamiha janinanuragaham Trinarabhi shunijena, tarorabhi sahishnuna, amanina amanadena, kirtaniya sadahari, madhanam na janam na sundarim, kavidamba jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmani shwari, bhavadal bhaktirahai dugitvai, ayi nandatanuja kingaram, padidamam shame bhavambudav,
കൃപയാദവ പാദമംഗജസ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗളദശുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാഗിര പുലകരവിഹിതം കദാവഭൂ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗൽസർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം പിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദഥാ ദുലംബടോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ നാപരാ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ.
സോ 15th chapter, Krishna finished saying like that, iti guhyatamam shastram idam uktam mayanaka edam buddhva buddhiman syal kritakrityascha bharata, he said. Next chapter, 16th chapter also, if you look, the last words, what Krishna had to say, tasmal shastram pramanam te karya karya vyavasthito jnatva shastra vidhana uktam കർമ്മകർത്തും ഇഹാർഹസി. തസ്മാൽ ശാസ്ത്രം പ്രമാണം തേ കാര്യകാര്യ വ്യവസ്ഥിതോ ജ്ഞാത്വാ ശാസ്ത്രവിധാനോക്തം കർമ്മകർത്തും ഇഹാർഹസി. സോ എലിയ ഇ സെഡ് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് എലിയ ഇ സെഡ് ഗുഹ്യതമം ശാസ്ത്രം, എ വെരി കോൺഫിഡൻഷ്യൽ ശാസ്ത്രം ഐ ഹാവ് സ്പോക്കൺ ടു യു, ഇ സെഡ്. And if you know this shastram very well, what will happen? Edat buddhva kritakrityascha bharata. You become kritakrityata, comes from that, right? In other words, you will be fulfilled, you will become perfect, right? So, you may be anybody, you could be a cobbler, you are a grocer, or you have an IT specialist, or you will be cooking in kitchen. Whatever it may be, Krishna is saying that you will become perfect. If you have this science, knowledge, then Krishna is saying, either buddhva buddhiman syal kritakrityascha bharata, right? For example, as I mentioned before, Kabir was a weaver, isn't it? He was a weaver in his family life. And at the end of his, after he had become well known as a realized great soul, Mahatma like that, the kings in them days who were ruling different countries, they used to come to him, why do you continue doing this work, weaving job? Why do you continue like that? We can arrange anything for you. Facilities to stay, we'll give you the money for to live your life in this world. We'll look after you, take care of everything, right? Kabir's answer was, this is my dharmam. I'm just doing my dharmam, right? And actually I'm not weaving the cloth. This whole thing is an expression of my happiness inside of the Antaryami. Why? Because body is doing its work. That's the way he is seeing that. The body is doing its work, right? So whole lifetime Kabir did this work. His work. He kept it. Even though there was no need for him to do it. People work in this world to maintain themselves. Kabir could have maintained even without doing all that, but still he kept doing the work what he did, right? Similarly, there was a famous one of the Maharashtrian saints, cobbler, Ravidas. Ravidas was a cobbler, right? And after his self-realization and all, he didn't put effort to start an ashram or anything. He didn't do that. But he kept continuing what he was doing before. This is the beauty of that. After self-realization, you would have thought that you would like to share that with others and open an ashram or an institution. No, they didn't do that. Ravidas didn't do it. Nisargadatta Maharaj didn't do that. Right? So whatever dress Krishna has given to you, you do that. Live in that dress, whatever that has to be done. Right? So, if you have no identification with this body, then this body will do its dharmam in this world. That's all. Body will just do its dharmam in this world if you have no identification with it, right? So that is what this Krishna is calling it as the guhyatamam shastram. This is the shastram behind it. That you have become separated from the body due to self-realization. And then the body is doing its work in this world. The purpose for which, based on prarabdham, what it has come, it will do it on its own. So Krishna says that if it is known, then kṛta-kṛtyasya bhārata, you will become kṛta-kṛtyada, pūrṇada will come. Then you won't have any more that I will have to do this, I have to get this from that, and some new plans, something new I want to do it. All these things, desires will leave you. Krishna says, desires will leave you then, at that time. Vasanas have gone from the person, right? Because inside it is perfect, perfection inside, right? And there is no more jignyasa for anything. I want to get something or want to do something, right? So, samudravad gambhiryam, like an ocean, is full within himself, right? So, Krishna said all these things in the last chapter, and he told Arjuna, you will know me as Purushottama. You will know me as Purushottama. Not Charapurusha or Acharapurusha, instead Purushottama, right? Purnatvad Purushaha, right? So, after realizing the truth, what is that truth? All what exists here is Krishna, consciousness. That's all what it exists here, right? Purusham evedam vishwam, Vedam says. Purusham evedam vishwam. World is Purusha. World is Purusha. So, everything what you see here is Krishna. Karmam is Krishna. All objects are Krishna. The nectar of that is also Krishna. And everything what you see is, nothing exists here except Krishna. That is the highest state of realization. Sarvatmakatvam, right? And when we have reached that state, then there is no more sadhana to do anymore. You finish the sadhana stage, right? So, like Maharshi, for example, Ramana Maharshi, he didn't do anything, basically, right? So, people who have gone to him, seen him, they notice this, that he does not have a specific time for sadhana or anything. 24 hours, he was in that state, of the realized state, right? So, anubhava chinyena, avichinyena surubasthanam sthidihi anushtanam. Patanjali says that. Avichinam, that means without any interruptions, situated in that state of self-realization, right? Surubasthanam. And there is no vichiti. Vichiti means there is no interruptions there. Almanubhavam, realization of the self. So, what do you have to get through anushtanam, sadhana, upasana and all that? Once you have established in the self, once you have reached that state or a self-realization, then you are not falling back from that again into the sadhana level, right? And even if he comes back to the sadhana level, he does not have anything to do in this world. He's become free from all obligations in this world, right? And he won't be able to do anything either. He won't be able to do anything either. And he won't be able to do the deity worship. And he won't be able to even chant the holy name. Such strong is the realization inside, right? Continuous tapasya, right? Which without any vichari. So therefore he is saying here that is what, that perfection, when that perfection comes, that's what Arjuna has asked here. In that samadhi state, Arjuna's question is this, how will he be in this world? He's asking Krishna this question. Siddhapratnya state, this in the second chapter, we'll come to that later, right? What will he be like when he has realized that? So when Arjuna asked this question, there was something in Arjuna's mind. That's why he asked that question, right? Because the kind of things what they do is not an individual's work when they do things like that, right? It's a little difficult to understand that. the realized soul is not a person anymore. Jnani is not a person anymore, right? Because he has realized the truth, Krishna says that he is not a person anymore. He is knowledge as such, right? And Krishna called him by different names, isn't it? Gunatitan. And similarly, one who has self-realized, Atmajnani, Yogi, Sthita Prajna. These are all different names he is using for the same person, right? Whatever you may say, whatever name you address him, right? One who is in that state, he may look like anybody else in this world, but within himself, there is a big shift. Within himself, there is a big shift, right? So, certain specialities with that person, right? Why? What is the difference? Difference is this. His intelligence is not working anymore. Gone. Mind is not working anymore. Gone. Ahankaram is not working anymore. Gone. Right? And as far as he is concerned, there is only one vastu inside. Antaryami. That's the only way. But the body is there. Imagine a state like that. Your mind is gone. Intelligence is gone from you. And your ahankaram has gone. Antaryami is there, the body is there. That state. That's that state, right? So, sometimes you may think he's doing something using his intelligence and all that. It will appear to us from outside when you look at them that their intelligence is there because certain things they do or the mind is working and as though they have some ego. You may get a feeling like that, but actually, it is a single force inside and only that force is working in them. Antaryami is doing everything at that stage. Ahankaram is not doing. You see, this is the difficulty. We won't be able to, when you, an outsider, when you see a Jivan Mukta, he won't be able to understand anything. It's very difficult to say whether Ahankaram is doing or Antaryami is doing, is it not? So, in that person, ahankaram is gone. So, still, body is doing certain things. It's done by the antaryami from inside. But you, from outside, will think that ahankaram has not gone. He's still doing like that, right? So, how can you know that? How will you know that? It is a language. That language is outside this world. That the way they communicate, how they do things, that language is alaugikam. Alaugikam means in this world people cannot understand that, right? So this knowledge, this vidya, Brahma vidya, you can only communicate in this way. There is no other way of communicating that, alaugikam. And that is the reason why Arjuna asked that question, that ka bhasha. He asked the question, you remember? Sthita Prajna Seka Ka Bhasha, he said. How does he conduct himself in this world? Because of this difficulty. When Arjuna asked that question, he had something in his mind that Krishna is sitting right in front and he is asking this question to Krishna. And Arjuna accepts everything, but then he is seeing that Krishna is doing so many things also. He's not able to understand where is this action coming from then. So, to make that clear, Krishna said, Arjuna said there, that the Sthita Prajna Seka Bhasha Samadhista Sekeshava. Sthita Dhi Kim Prabhasheta Kim Asita Vrajeta Kim. He wants to know all these things. Because Arjuna is getting a bit confused. How does he conduct himself? If ahankaram has gone, mind is gone, intelligence has gone, they are not working anymore, then how does he conduct himself? That's what he is asking that. का भाषा समाधिस्थस्य केशव स्थिदधि किम प्रभाषेद किम आसीद व्रजेद किम हाउ डस ही कंडक्ट हिज व्यवहारम इन दिस वर्ल्ड हाउ डस ही स्पीक हाउ डस ही सीट हाउ डस ही वॉक सो अर्जुन हैड वॉन्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट हाउ दैट हैपन्स राइट सो अर्जुन कृष्णा इज सेइंग स्थित प्रज्ञा और जीवन मुक्ता जीवन मुक्ता इज अनदर वर्ड फॉर दैट राइट हाउ टू एक्सप्लेन दैट टू समबडी का भाषा सो वॉट कृष्णा डिड वॉज ही डिडंट गिव एन आंसर एट ऑल इफ यू नोटिस द वे हाउ कृष्णा आंसर्ड यू सी दीज आर सटल थिंग्स इन भगवद्गीता बिकॉज भगवद्गीता इज अ वेरी सटल साइंस इट इज वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट लिबरेटेड पर्सन And we, in our state, will only see them like us because the body is there and they are also doing similar things like us. They are eating, they are sleeping, and they are walking, they are sitting. Everything what we do, they are also doing. So we, in our position, naturally this doubt will come. What's the difference between us then? Our problem, isn't it? So, because it is like that, that's why Arjuna asked that Ka Bhasha means that. How do they conduct themselves? Arjuna wants to know that. Because Arjuna is not able to come to terms with it. That Krishna is also doing so many things and Krishna is talking about this Siddhapratnyatvam and all that. So if it is a Siddhapratnya, then why is he doing all these things? How does that work happen through him? Right? So Samadhisthasya Keshava Ka Bhasha, he said. So what Krishna did, because it is difficult to explain that, Krishna didn't answer that question at all. In the next words, if you look, you will see. Krishna answered in a different way. What did he say? He said, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Prajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan Alpanye Valpanatushta Stida Pratyasta Dochyade. That is how he answered. Instead of answering what language he speaks or how he conducts himself, He just said, Prajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan Alpanyev Alpana Tushta Alpanyev Alpana Tushta Siddha Prajnata Dochyare, he said. That's how the answer was. So you can see the question and the answer. You will see the answer is not directly to the question. Arjuna is asking, Siddha Prajnata Ka Bhasha Samadhisthasya Keshava Siddhadhi Kim Prabhasheda Krishna didn't answer any of those questions. Instead, he said, Prajahadi Yada Kaman. You will see the same thing with Uddhava also. Uddhava asked some question, Krishna's answer is totally different. That is how the rishis answer. The rishis' method is like that. You are supposed to capture from that what they meant. They are not going to come to us, we want translation word by word, purport, and then after that also we won't understand. This is our state. So you can see how great personalities, Mahalpas, they don't talk too much. But when they talk from the depth, deep inside, right? So when Arjuna asked this question, Krishna's answer was like that. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. It has nothing to do with Siddha Prajna Sega Bhasha. So, so he said there that, this thing called mind doesn't exist in them anymore. Right? Alpanyev Alpana Tushta, he said. Right? One thing is sure that they are perfect. One thing is sure that they are perfect. Right? In other words, within themselves, there is no division. In all of us, there is division, isn't it? Buddhi, Manasa, Ahangaram, in this way. Because these divisions have gone, Buddhi, Manasa, Ahangaram, they are all divisions. One energy that comes from the Andaryami that gets broken into all these different things. They are called divisions. That power is coming from Andaryami. But in them, that division has gone, completely gone. In them, Atma is like the space in the outside space, right? There is unlimited, it is. So, he is not an intellectual anymore. he is not an intellect. In other words, you have intellect means a wave, but he is intelligent. I don't know whether I mentioned properly. he is not an intellect anymore. Intellect has gone, but he is intelligent. He is intelligent in the sense that he is like the ocean. Intellect means away from the ocean. Yeah? Intelligence means the ocean itself. So, buddhi, what we call as intellect in English, right, is like a small bubble in that, what is operating. Whereas knowledge is like the ocean. Knowledge is like the ocean. So, jnani's knowledge is like the ocean, right? Therefore, in the commentary, Ajari Swami calls it as agasha kalpa jnanam, like agasham, space itself, right? So, jnanina agasha kalpena sambuddha. So, knowing that technique is a different technique. It's a different technique. For example, when you study, say, chemistry or physics, whatever it may be, you won't become, say, you're studying chemistry, and you're saying, say, hydrogen, oxygen, and all that. You don't become hydrogen or oxygen, is it not? You only know how they are mixed together and things like that. So, if you studied about hydrogen, you don't become hydrogen, right? But in Brahmavidya, once you know Brahmavidya, then you become Brahmam. That is the big difference. You become Brahmam, yeah? That means you cannot exist separately from the object what you are going to get to know. That's a big difference between studies in the mundane world and Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya, once you have realized it, once you have understood, you can see whichever way you call it, you become that. You become Brahmam. Brahmavid, Brahmaiva Bhavadi. If you have understood Brahmam, Brahmavid, you become Brahmam. Whereas in chemistry, if you study hydrogen, you don't become hydrogen. Or you don't become oxygen. You are still. Hydrogen and oxygen is separate. Whereas here, Brahmavidya, you see the difference between Brahmavidya and the other Vidya. All other Vidya, you learn with your mind and intelligence. Whereas in Brahmavidya, what happens? Mind and intelligence leaves you once for all and goes away. All other things you need mind and intelligence. But Brahmavidya means you don't require any more mind and intelligence. You become that automatically, right? So, that means you don't get to know Brahmam separately from Brahmam, right? only if you remain separate from Brahmam, only then you get to know that. But the problem is that if you have to know about yourself, that's what self-realization is. Brahmam, aham brahmasmi, is a self-realization. If you have to know that, whatever if you have known about yourself separately from you, it will be wrong. If you got to know about yourself separately from yourself, if you get to know anything about yourself, that will be wrong, right? When you become yourself, realize yourself, only then you will get to know what you are, right? That means if you stay as two separately from the other, then you will never get to know the other one. Right? So, therefore he's saying here, you get to know him as though you are not separate from the truth, from Brahman, Mukta Purusha, and that is what Ajari Swami calls it as Akasha Kalpa Jnanam. He says like that. So, in this, if you get to know like that, Krita Krityada comes, what Krishna said in the last verse. So, to Arjuna, right? So, this is why Krishna called it as Purushottama Yogam. That chapter was called as Purushottama Yogam, right? And once you become like that, you are free from material existence. Samsaram is over, right? Iha evater jida sargaha. Kena Upanishad says, Iha evater jida sargaha. How do they say in the Upanishad? Upanishad says that you have won over the creation. That means you have become free from material existence. You have won over the creation means jida sargaha. Sarga means creation. You have won over the creation iha, here, right now. Iha eva there, jida sargaha. Right here, you have crossed over the samsaram, material existence, right? How did that happen? Because you have become free from this problem, that something else exists separately from you. That has gone. Because samsaram is also not real. It is only avidya that is created, that you are separate from the world. Where did that come from? From avidya only, that you are separate from the world. Actually, only Krishna exists here, Brahma Bhuvanam. Prahlad Maharaj says that in the Bhagavatam, that he says to Krishna, everything is you. That's the realization at the end, is it not? In the seventh canto, if you look at that verse, Tum Vayur Agnir. Yeah. Tum Vayur Agnir. Agni Avanirvya Dambu Matra. Pranendriyani Hridayam Chidanugrahascha. Sarvam Tumeva. Sagunam Vigunascha Bhuman. Na Anyal Todasabi Manu Vajasa Niruktam. Famous words. In the end of Prahlada Sri, Prahlada says to Narasimhamurti like this, that Vayu, air, Agni, fire, earth, Agasham, space, water, all living entities, senses, pranam, then mind, chittam, manasa, chittam, ahangaram, everything is you. That's how Prahlad is saying. Everything is you, right? That means whatever that is gross or subtle, whatever it may be, everything is you. Whatever that I have manufactured in my mind has created a lot of sankalpam, all that sankalpam, and whatever I have spoken with my words is also you. This is what he is saying here. Tum vayuragni avanirviyadambu matram pranendriyani hridayam chidanugrahascha sarvam tum eva saguno vigunascha bhuman na anyal todasya vimano vajasa niruktam. So that's what Prahlad is saying at the realization. After that he is saying this to Narasimhamurti. Right? So that is what is called Jita Sargaha. Right? So Prahlad said that. And so for Prahlada is concerned, Narasimhamurti is not only in the pillar. Right? Everywhere there is only Narasimham. He is saying this to Narasimham. There is only Narasimham everywhere. So Krishna came as Narasimham through the pillar, not only for the sake of Prahlada, right? Actually came for the sake of Hiranyakashipu, right? So when this happened, appearance happened, if you look there, you will see interesting things. Eighth chapter, Narasimham Stuti. He's saying there, Prahlad is saying, Satyam vidhatam najabhrutya bhashitam, 18th verse. Vyaptim ja bodhe shakileshu chatmana, adrishyadat albhudarubam odduhan, stambhe sabhayam namrgam namanusham. This is how Narasimham appeared, right? Satyam vidhatam najabhrutya bhashitam, vyaptim ja bodhe shakileshu chatmana, adrishyadat albhudarubam odduhan, Sambhe sabhayam na mrgam na manusham. So, satyam vidadam najabhrutya bhashidam. Najabhrutyam. Najabhrutya means he is not Prahlada anymore. Hiranyakashipu. It is not about Prahlada. Najabhrutya refers to Hiranyakashipu. Who is Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu is his servant in the Vaikuntham, isn't it? Jaya. Jaya has come as Hiranyakashipu, right? So, and it is he who has asked this question, where is your Narasimham? He asked Prahlada this question, right? So, the question was, is he in the pillar? Who asked this Hiranyakashipu to Prahlada? Is he in the pillar, right? And Prahlada didn't ask that question. Yeah. Sometimes people say, especially the communists, They'll come to the temple. Where is your God here? As though he's sitting there to see you. We had a chief minister like that who will ask that question. He'll go to all the temples and say, where is the God sitting here in the temple? As though he has nothing to do with him. He'll ask like that, right? Similarly, sometimes people ask that question. Is there God in this temple, right? Communists and these people who are Yuktivadis, they will ask that question, right? So, for them, they can only see God in the temple. That's their understanding, right? In other words, they see him only in the deity. Only in the deity, right? Tum vayur agnir, that what he said there, Prasada said that, isn't it? Tum vayur agnir, amiyam dambu matram. That verse, the last verse, right? Pranindriyani hudayam chidanugrahasya sarvam tumeva. Prahlad is saying, sarvam tumeva, sagunam vigunasya bhoman, sagunam vigunam, everything, right? So, that is Prahlada's realization, that verse. What it is showing to us is, it is his realization, what he is saying to us, right? And he said, sagno vigunasya bhoman, whatever it is, good or bad, whatever it's here, everything it's you, right? Good or bad, mind, words, senses, whatever I am analyzing with all these things, whatever I am creating with the mind, whatever I am thinking in my mind, whatever words I am speaking, and similarly whatever I am doing with my senses, all these things is nothing but you I am dealing with through all that, right? And nothing else I can see here, sarvam hari, right? So, and that stage, at least at that time, Hiranyakashipu asked that question, right? Is he there in the pillar then, when he said that? So, when father asked this question, Prahlada says, when Prahlada looked at the pillar, immediately the pillar became pregnant. Immediately the pillar became pregnant, right? In other words, pillar delivered, pillar is the mother of Narasimha. Narasimha's mother is pillar. What do you think about that? Yeah. So, how come Narasimham appeared from a pillar? Once a famous Bhagavatam speaker went somewhere in Bombay and he was speaking Bhagavatam. Very good he was, very extremely good. And then when he came back to his village and he had his friends there, so they asked him how was the visit to Bombay, he said. Visit was good, he said. So was there people to listen to Bhagavatam? He said, yeah, there was a lot of people, but they were all like Narasimha's mother, he said. Just sat there like a pillar and heard and went back. That's all, he said. No bhavam inside. That's what he was trying to say. Right? So, Prahlada looked at him and said that, that when he looked at Narasimha, when he looked at the pillar, Narasimha he is seeing there. He is seeing Narasimha there. So, so at Yani, when he looks at us in the same way, what will he see in us? He will see in us our Andaryami. That's what he will see in us. He won't see like the way we are looking at each other. Name, form, male, female, good person, bad person. All this has gone from him completely. Right? So, to show to us, Prahlada, a jnani, if he can pull a Narasimham out of a pillar, he can pull out a Narasimham from a pillar, right? What is the difference? The pillar, it does not resist, right? In our case, we will resist. When he wanted to pull Narasimham out of the pillar, it was possible. But in our case, we will resist, right? So, the pillar has got one good thing. It is staying as it is. It doesn't have to be any change. But we are not like the pillar. That is the problem, right? So, when somebody shoots an arrow towards us, right, we will react to it, isn't it? Say somebody shoots an arrow at you. You will react to that situation, right? Therefore, the arrow won't go inside. You will try to escape. Similarly, from the inside the pillar, how Narasimham came out, which is nothing but Purushottama Yogam. That's what Prahlada's state is. He has realized Krishna is Purushottama. Due to that Purushottama yoga realization, he was able to do this. Able to bring Narasimham out of the pillar. Because for him, Sagunam Vigunascha Bhuvani says, nothing else exists here. That means very highest level of realization. Who? Prahlada. Due to that high state of realization, nothing else exists here except Krishna. So therefore, when he looked at pillar, Narasimham came out from there. Because Hiranyakashipu asked the question, where is your God? Is he in the pillar? He asked the question. Prahlada said, yes, I am seeing there. He is coming out. He said, there he is, he said. As soon as he showed the hand, Narasimham comes out from the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu could not believe it, even though he was his servant in the Vaikuntha. This is his position, right? So Jnani's drishti is like that, like Prahlada's case, right? In our case, the problem is, we will resist. We won't accept all these things. Our mind will say, that's not possible. Mind comes first. And then mind will create a lot of questions. Is it not? They will say, how is that possible? And that is why it is so difficult to break through people like Richard Hawkins and Steve Hawkins and all these great, great thinkers. There are so many of them like that. If you tell them, they can find it difficult to accept it, that it is possible. This state of Prahlada is difficult for them to understand. They are so, blocked into their situation, mind, intelligence. This is everything for them. And they cannot understand a state where there is no mind and intelligence working anymore, or ahangaram. These three things, mind, intelligence, ahangaram. These three things, absence of that, they can't think about it. They can think about it, right? So, just like Krishna, Narasimham came from the pillar, Purushottama Yogam, what we have discussed there, in the Jnani's drishti, the whole creation is Krishna Surupam, Jagal Surupam, right? Bhagavad Surupam, right? And that drishti is called Amrita drishti. Amrita drishti it is called. Amrita drishti means that with that vision, right, the Jagat, the world itself is completely perfect. Perfect in the sense that it becomes purified by his vision. So the important thing here is that from this one thing, Purushottama Yogam, what we have to understand is that Sanadana Dharmam is Vyakti Nishtam. I don't know whether you understand that. What means is, Sanadana Dharmam, never believe. Individually you have to make it. Vyakti Nishtam it is. You cannot expect somebody else to do it for you. You cannot expect an institution to do it for you. You cannot do even the guru to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Vyakti Nishtam it is. Sanadana Dharma means Vyakti Nishtam. Vyakti Nishtam means it is individual based, it is, right? And our dharmam, Sanadana dharmam, is not Samuha Nishtam. Samuha Nishtam means based on the society, all together doing it, and we'll make it together. No, Sanadana dharmam never agreed with that. Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying, Uddhared Atman Atmanam, Atmanam Navasadayet, Atmani Atmanatushtat, Asagaryam Navidyade. Every verse you look, Krishna is saying to us, you have to elevate yourself. Nobody else can help you. You have to do it on your own. That means spiritual life is always individual, not any time. You can do all the other things, organizations and meetings and seminars and, association with the devotees, Kirtan Mela, everything you can do it together, Bhajan Mela, Kirtan Mela, all kind of things. But at the end, you are on your own. You have to make it yourself, the path. So, that's what he is saying here. So, Vyakti Nishtam. So, when an individual becomes perfect, right, when they live in this world, that will be beneficial for the whole world. When such a person who have realized the truth, if he lives in the world, that will be the best service for the world. That will be the greatest benefit for the world. It is from that one person who have realized the truth, the world gets the highest benefit. than anybody else. Prabhupada is mentioned in the introduction into the Bhagavad Gita. You can read that. Prabhupada says this, that all this effort I put in, but ultimately if one person realized the truth, then that is the success. Not that hundreds and thousands of temples have built, or thousands of followers have come, that is not some success, Krishna, Prabhupada says there. He says, if one person realizes the truth, then that one person has done enough benefit for the whole world. He puts it that way. Yeah. So therefore, Sanatana Dharma, this is an important thing. Sanatana Dharma is Vyakti Nishtam. It is individual, it is. What matters, not society, not organization, not ashramam, not temple, nothing. Individually it has to happen, right? So when such a realized soul exists in this world, he will be the greatest benefit for the rest of the society. Not the half-baked ones. Half-baked is all useless. It can't help very much. But one realized soul, everywhere you will find this, they're insisting this. One realized person coming into this world, he will do a lot more than all the thousands of others, right? So, and it is because of this understanding has not come to the society properly. Therefore, everything has become a performance now. Spiritual life has become a performance now because of this. This lack of this understanding, everything has become a performance, right? Or you can say like a festival. Everything is a festival now, right? Or like a drama or things like that, right? Because the idea nowadays is the society should recognize it. Or similarly, the politician should recognize you. And they should come to our temple. And if they do an arati like this, and the newspaper people come, media comes, takes photos, and say that he has come to our temple, and we got recognition in the world. Is this spiritual life? Is this spiritual life? Has spiritual life gone to this level? Don't you think that? Does it make any sense with what Krishna is saying here? Spiritual life success is if you realize the truth. All other things are just a show, waste of time. Nothing is going to happen. All spiritual organizations want to invite the Prime Minister, want to invite the big leaders in the society, and after they have come visited in the newsletter, you will see he has come. So that means you become bona fide, because he had come. Therefore, the businessmen, politicians and all that. And this is how institutions run in this world, because they completely carried away by all these things. Today's spiritual field, I'm saying, it is like this. It has no connection with the reality. Reality is totally different, right? So, in order to get this recognition from the society, we do all these sorts of things. We get all the big men to come. And if they come, whether it is Hema Malini or whether it is somebody else, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what have they got to offer in spiritual life? What do they offer? Except that she has come. You have taken a lot of photos. All the temple leaders were with her and put it in the newsletter. Oh, now ISKCON has become, we have become more authorized now because Hema Malini had come. Or some Narendra Modi has come. These things don't make you spiritually any recognition. These are all just for publicity. If you, that's what you want in life, then it's okay. Then it's what, right? So, but if everything becomes like this, what will happen is, gradually, you will deviate from adhyatmam, spiritual life, and it will create a lot of problems for the sadhakas who are doing sadhana. People who are doing sadhana, they will get affected by this in due course of time. If this alone is going on all the time, right? In front of the sadhaka, right? how should a guru should come in front of him, right? In other words, when you see a guru, you should feel shanti inside, feel peace inside. Now, if the guru himself is caught up in this mess, kriya kalapam, if he is stuck in that, and naturally he will draw his disciple also into it. Guru is stuck in the mess, because guru knows only this, and guru is caught up in that mess. What he will do is, he will drag all his disciples also into it. because he also doesn't know anything better. We have to be very, very careful in spiritual life. Otherwise, you could get into trouble. This is all going on in this world, right? And that kalabam, kriya kalabam, what Guru was busy with, he will expand it further with the disciples together, right? And he is finding it difficult to stop even the kalabam, his own kalabam. But now what has happened is that he has created a kalabam which was not there before, but made it bigger with the disciples. That's what has happened. So, and he is not finding it difficult to get out of this. You can understand what I'm saying. Become a guru and started a lot of temples and ashrams and everything, lot of disciples, then you have to keep them going in this world, is it not? That means fundraising, you have to go asking for money from the public, and then you have to make sure that there are people, things are happening on a daily basis, and you, the sannyasa ashram, what happened to it now? You got into this kriya kalapam, this is called kriya kalapam, what karmam creates, karma kalapam it's called. You got stuck in that karma kalapam, and that has become a burden on you. You cannot come out of it, right? So, so you think about that and compare to someone, a householder, right? A householder in a village, right? Ordinary householder in a village. He had wife, children. Some of the other, the children grew up. They got their, got, girls got married and boys got away. And in the old age, he is able to retire from all this karma. Sannyasi is not able to retire. So what was the use of this sannyasam then? You have to ask this question, isn't it? So many people you will see in the villages. Even today, there are people in the villages who have, their family life is over, they have grown up, they got into 60, 65 age group. Children have got married, some of them stay with them, some of them don't. But the householder feels a detachment from the whole thing. My job is over in this world, he feels like that. My duties are over. And once that feeling comes in, then you can do something spiritually. But if that duty is never finished, responsibility is never over, so where is the difference then with the sannyasi and the householder? Householders sometimes, okay, some householders, they get entangled so much that they cannot come out of it. But there are many householders who are good enough to realize this, that I've done so much for my family, it's enough now, what I can do, I have done that. At least now let me be free to do what I want to do in life, to spend at least the last few years in spiritual, purely in spiritual path, and spend my time in Krishna consciousness. There are many, many householders like that, even today. Even today, there are people like that. So when you see him, and when you see this sannyasi caught up in all this karma kalabam, and dragging all others also into it, what would you say about that? Who do you think is better? Sannyasi has no time. He is busy. He is flying around here, there, everywhere. And he is thinking he is serving, improving the world conditions. And Krishna has already said that, don't waste your time trying to improve the world. I have tried it, it didn't work. That's what he said to Uddhava. He says to Uddhava, I have tried but it didn't work, I'm going now. Krishna is saying this. He didn't say directly like that, but the way he said that was that the nobody tried to change this world. Everybody accepts that. Prakriti it is. Prakriti has its own set rules, and that's what will happen here. You won't be able to change, I won't be able to change, nobody will be able to change it, right? So, therefore, he's saying here that in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, right? So this is a big trap for someone who is coming to spiritual life, right? That able to find peace within, right? And if you try to turn the world upside down, then what will happen is, think about this, he will never have any peace. And if you tell him, you do this, you do that, and so many things, then if you keep doing that to others, then you are not much different than Yama. But Yama is doing, right? In other why it said like that is that you will go from one body to another. You see, from death to another death. Na yojayet karmasu karma mothan. In the Bhagavadam, Rishabhadev says this. Have you noticed that? What Rishabhadev had said? It is important that Upadesham, Shubha Upadesham, if you study in the Bhagavadam, in the fifth canto, Rishabhadev's teachings to fifth chapter. Yeah. Fifth chapter, you will see this. Nayojayat karmasu karma mothan. 15th verse. Putram shashishyam shanrupo gururva maloga kamo madanugraha artha itham vimanyu anushishya tadajyan nayojayat karmasu karma mothan. He's talking about guru, who are dragging their disciples into this karmam and destroying their life. That's what he's saying there. Putramsha shishyamsha nrubo gururva malloga kamo madanugrahartha itham vimanyu anishishyata dajyan. Only ajnani will do such a thing. Na yojayet karmasu karma mudhan. He says, if you want to come realize the truth, come back to me, says, or one who thinks that self-realization is the goal of life, a father, he should instruct his children accordingly. A guru should instruct his disciples accordingly. A king should instruct his subjects accordingly. In this way, even if they don't listen to you, you should not get angry, but still you should try to guide them in the right direction. Right? Karma mudha. And that means all are karma mudhas we are, is it not? All trapped in karma. That's why we are called karma mudhas. Karma mudhas, we should not encourage them to get involved in karma more and more, right? And if you get them involved in more karma, they will go down further in the samsaram, in this material life. In this life itself, they will go deep down into ignorance, more into avidya, right? And what is he going to gain from that? Rishabhadev is saying to Bharata. That verse is important. Putramsha shishyamsha nrupo gururva maloga kamo madanugrahartha. Then, itham vimanyu anishishyata dajyan na yojayat karmasu karma muvan. Kam yojayan manijortam lebheda nipadayan nashtadrisham higarthe. That person will go further into nashtadrisham. He loses his vision and he will go deep down into hell. Nashtadrisham higarthe, he says. So, if you study Bhagavadam, you will notice all these things, what they had to say about it, and start analyzing that way, in the background of that, right? It is, nashtadrisham higarthe means, he himself doesn't have proper vision, eyes to see, right? And then he has come and pulled someone else and pushed him into the well, into the deep well. He himself doesn't have any proper vision, and he has pulled someone else and put him also into the same deep well, right? So, in other words, he is pulling him back again into Vyavaharam and becoming busy with Vyavaharam, right? So, Shandi won't come from these things. Shandi's margam is that the uparamam, withdrawing from the Vyavaharam, right? And so a small family, for example, here, small family has got a small prarabdham also. Family has a prarabdham together. That prarabdham, it is there. Karmam is there, prarabdham is there. But somehow or the other, within that karmam and prarabdham, you have to bring Krishna inside, into that, right? And nobody can jump out of their prarabdham. Nobody can jump out of their prarabdham, right? That has to be, you have to go through, right? And there is no technique. Till now, nobody has invented any technique to escape from the prarabdham, right? And this Sometimes people say this karma is very difficult. Working in the world is too much. Whereas if I join this movement, prasadam is there on time. I don't want much in this world. But if I get prasadam on time and a place to sleep, and a little bit of preaching here and there. So some people escape like that. Why should I go to work, 8 hours working, whole day in the factory? And you have to please the boss, you have to please so many people. Then when you come home, there is also peace there either. So why do I do all that? Instead, I'll remain as a brahmachari. I won't do any work. I don't want to do any work. I don't want much. I just want prasadam 3 times and a place to sleep. And all other things are looked after by the state. So why should I go and work? This question will come, right? So so he is thinking that he has escaped from his prarabdham, right? And he will go to a guru thinking that maybe the guru can help me in this, right? So if he goes to the guru saying all these things, what will the guru will say? What he will do is, he will pull you and he will tie you down with his prarabdham. That's what guru will do. You try to escape your prarabdham and you come to the guru and say to the guru that I want to escape from, I have come to realize that this material world is temporary and I want to realize the truth, he says. So guru says he is the right one. He drag him also and get him into his prarabdham, in prarabdham, right? And that is a situation when they say, just like the frog get caught up in the mouth of the snake, isn't it? Right? He is not able to go inside and he is not able to jump outside either. You are stuck with the guru's prarabdham. You are stuck with the guru's prarabdham then, right? And both of them together will suffocate. Like the frog and the snake, the guru and the disciple will feel the suffocation inside, right? And therefore, Krishna says, Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De. Shastram is the Pramanam. Not all these gurus and all these disciples, if you start taking them as Pramanam, you will be in trouble. Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De. Shastram, what did Shastram say to us? What did Shastram say to us? Shastram is saying, this vidya, Purushottama Yogam, or this vidya, Adhyatma Vidya, or Brahma Vidya, wherever you are, in whichever situation you are, there itself you have to realize it. Without going anywhere, without seeing someone, without anybody's help, right? So, two or few things like this, that one is this body. That is our one problem, this body, right? And this, Krishna said, is Kshetram, right? And this body is different for everyone. Everyone has got different problems with this body, right? One person is not like another person. Now, apart from the fact that male, female, even among the male also, one person is not like another person. Female also, one person is not like another person, right? So, that is the reason when some people come and ask, they'll ask, what are you doing? They'll say that, what should I do? The answer is like this, I don't know what you have to do, but I can give you the torch, but you have to find your way home. Torch I can give it to you, but it's up to you to find the way home, right? But I can't take you home. I can only give you the torch, right? And you take the torch and you find your way home, right? And similarly, the torch is same to everybody, the knowledge, that is Shastram. Shastram is same to everybody. How to use the Shastram and how to escape from this cycle of birth and death, that's your problem, my problem, and your problem. You can't hand that over to anybody else. Shastram is the torch. Shastram gives the torch to us. But use the torch and how to find the way back home, that's our headache. Our headache it is. Yeah. So, similarly, so because the route is different for each one of us. Someone has to go to Aldenham, someone has to go to Watford, someone has to go to Stanmore or another place. So, the route you have to find yourself. Only the torch is given, right? So, jnanam, knowledge, spiritual knowledge is like the torch, right? It's the same to everybody. Shastra, right? And so one has to take that. Then in your personal life, if you think that by some magic things will happen like that, you will get into more trouble. You will jump into more problems. Therefore, Krishna said, the first thing in the Bhagavad Gita that you look for the way how to get the control of karma. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga was spoken first. Because there, the body demands karma. Body is the one which takes you to karma. And get Karma Yoga and trying to escape from karma, don't try. It will not work. He has spoken that very clearly. Which means, from prarabdham, don't try to escape. You won't be able to escape, right? So, a devotee, he had a lot of problems in his life. For example, his son died, wife died, and so many difficulties came in his personal life, right? And a lot of distress came to him. So, he came to a sannyasi and told him that, what shall I do? All this has happened in my life. What should I do? So, the sannyasi told him that, why don't you stay like me then? Told him like this, right? So though he says, oh, I don't know whether I'll be able to be like you, he says to him, right? And so this sannyasi said, do you know how much problem I had in my life, right? Many swamis came to the same place and they were giving me trouble because sannyasis also fight each other in the ashram. I don't know whether you're aware of that. When there is shortages, there will be fight. So many ashrams in sannyasis in Haridwar and in Vrindavanam, Kashi and all, sometimes sannyasis also fight for different things, right? So what it is that, so what has happened now, the prarabdham to fight at home has shifted to ashram. Prarabdham has not gone. The prarabdham followed you wherever you go, right? So if you try to escape from karmam, there is no technique. Nobody has found any technique in this world how to escape from karma. Right? We are thinking that if I don't do anything and if I stay quietly, there won't be any problems, right? And you can see what happens then, right? Even if you are not doing anything, right, your allotted prarabdham will come to you. Problem will come to you in some form, right? Just like a parcel dispatched to you, comes and gets delivered to you on time, it will come to you in that way. That prarabdham will not let you escape from that. It will come to you in some form of distress. It will come, right? So, Maharshi also said the same thing. You know, this is what has happened. If you read Maharshi's life, Ramana Maharshi, he had problems in the temple, in Tirunamalai, when he was living there. They gave him trouble. So he said, okay, leave it. He went to the mountains. And there was one Virubhasha Guha. He went and stayed in the Virubhasha Guha. So what happened? Another sannyasi came there. And Maharshi was very young at that time, 18, 20 years old. Straight away came from home. And a couple of years, I think, he spent in the temple, the Tirunamalai temple. And because people were giving trouble, he left. He didn't want anything to do with any of these things. So he went to Virubhasha cave. He was staying there. So an older sannyasi came. You know what that he did to him? The old sannyasi told him that you are my disciple, he said. To Ramana Maharshi, he says to him. And then whoever was coming there in that way, he will introduce Ramana Maharshi as his disciple and collect money from the public. So he was doing all these kind of things. Right? So, and then he will say to people that he is my disciple, you offer obeisances to him. Give him some dakshina. Say like this. So sannyasis also, in ashrams happens, all these kind of things happens in the ashram. Right? And one day, Maharshi didn't like it. He didn't like all these things. So he wanted to walk away from that. At that time, the sannyasi spat at him, got angry with him and spat at him. Right? And finally, he left Virubhasha Guha and came out of that. Right? So while he was walking away from there, you know what a difficult life that is. You don't have any income, you have no food to eat, you have no place to sleep, living in a cave with one or two clothes, whatever he had, but satisfied with life, extreme vairagyam inside, So strong the vairagyam inside and detachment because of that, right? So when he decided to leave Viruvaksha Guha and walking away, one devotee who are regularly visiting there, he came up to him and told him that, don't go, stay here, and we all want you here, he said like that, right? So at that time Maharshi told him that, it will be difficult for me to stay here because I gave up my home. I gave up everything to realize the truth. And now what is happening is I am getting dragged back into it again. Again, dragged back into it. So I am looking for a way to escape from here, he said. I don't want to be here with people. I don't want that, right? So this person says to him, because in Tirunamalai there are so many other ashrams. So this man, this devotee says to Maharshi, come to my ashram then. Everything will be fine there, he said. So Maharshi told him, that will be the biggest mistake I'm going to make, right? I am looking for a way to get out of this, and I don't want to jump into another situation in the same way. And that is why he left that place, walked away from there, right? So then he moved to another place. That place later on came to know as Skandashramam, in that place, right? So, and when he got there in Skandashramam, he did not want any kind of people visiting him and bothering him and all that. But later on what happened? People started coming and then they built up an ashram around him. And then it became difficult for him to go away from there, right? So, therefore he is saying here that Ramanashramam came after that. He says, never try to escape from Prarabdham. It's a big advice to people, right? Whatever Prarabdham has to come in life, if you try to escape from that, nothing is going to happen. Nothing will work, right? Because this body, when it was given to us, decisions have been made before, in advance, isn't it? Antaryami has decided that in this body, this much Prarabdham will get exhausted and that you cannot change it. It's Antaryami's decision, right? So, body itself is a product of karma. We must not forget that. Body itself is a product of karma. It has come from karma. That's how this body was created, isn't it? So when it is like that, trying to escape from that, and that's why it is called Prarabdha Shariram. From Shastram point of view, this is Prarabdha Shariram. Therefore, in order to not to get affected by that, or not to add further into karma, there is only one way of getting out. Either jnanam or through bhakti. Jnanam is a method, process. But through bhakti you purify yourself and this knowledge must happen inside, right? So that is why Maharshi asked this person, or the sannyasi asked this person, why don't you sit like me in this way, right? So let anything happen in the world, don't worry about the world, right? Let Maya do whatever it wants to do, but you do the Sharanagati and you stay in your dharmam and stay quiet and withdraw from the world. So that is what is required, this state of consciousness, right? And this is the what Gita Shastram calls it as Sthita Prajnato. This is that state. Sthita Prajnato means able to withdraw from the world and able to be situated within oneself, right? Prajnasthidam, Dukkeshu, Krishna calls that, you will see in that state what will happen. If you look at the second chapter, Dukkeshu anidvigna manaha, Sukheshu vigata spriha, Vida raga bhaya krodha, Sthidhadhir munirichade. Krishna says when it comes to that state, that will be the condition, situation. Dukkeshu anidvigna manaha, Sukheshu vigata spriha, Vida raga bhaya krodha, Sthidadhir Muniruchyade. So, this is how Krishna answered that question. Siddha Prajna Seya Bhasha. Prajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan Alpanyev Alpanak Tushna Siddha Prajna Stadhuchyade. Then he said, Dukkesho Anudvignamana. So if you study all these things, you can understand what Krishna is expecting us to be. If we want to become Sthira Prajna. If you don't want to become Sthira Prajna, then not to bother, not worry about that. But if you want to become Sthira Prajna, Krishna is saying, these are the requirement for that. Dukkesho Anudvignamana. When distress comes, not Udvegam, anxiety inside. Sukheshu Vigataspriha. When Sukham comes in life, not carried away by that. Vida, Raga, Bhaya, Krodha. All those things, Kamam, Krodham, anger, fear, all these things, you are able to stay out of that, unaffected by that. Sthira Prajna, Sthira Dhir Muni Ruchyade. He is a Sthira Prajna. So, we'll stop here today and we will continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.